It's 6 past the hour on Air America Radio, and this is Morning Sedition.
Good morning, geniuses, philosopher kings and queens, denial monkeys, angry, seething, utopian progressives. How are you? I know that some of you are mad. It's a week after the election, and yes, there was some fraud at hand. There is no doubt about that, and we certainly will be reporting it. We're just not going to be obsessing about it. I appreciate all your emails. So here's one I'd like to read right off the bat, Mark Riley, if you don't mind.
I don't mind, and let me tell you something. Truer words have never been spoken than what you just said.
Well, thank God I'm starting to speak some truth occasionally, because, you know, I've got my own crap to work through with my own anger and disappointment about this election and about, you know, how we regroup and how to rethink what we're going to do and just getting on the course that we need to be on, Mark Riley. And I'm getting a lot of emails because a lot of people are, you know, some people are very excited about how you and I are handling it. Some people are sort of like, can't you see it, man? Wake up, dude. It was stolen. I'm going to tell you right now, I don't believe that John Kerry won the popular vote. I will admit that there are some things out there that are very suspect. There is some fraud. There was some, racial profiling and voting lists and things that were done. There was an understaffing problem that seems to be intentional and strategic. I mean, there were 500,000 voter poll workers short. And that equivalently, on a strategic level, is election fraud to some degree. But these kind of devices have been used for, you know, since the beginning of this nation. And I also just want to say that, what was I just going to say? I was just going to say something that had relevance.
Read the email. Read that email. Come on, bring it. Bring it. Bring it.
All right.
Come on.
All right.
Bring it.
You sure?
Bring it.
This is one of those see you later emails.
Bring it.
What a huge disappointment you guys are. If you ignore the election fraud of 2004, then we might as well talk about sports or weather. So, what was going on with the Giants?
So, the Colts won last night.
Yeah.
And it's cold.
Okay. All right. Beating up John Kerry or second-guessing the Bible Belt is totally irrelevant if we can't get the votes counted. I'm going to listen one more time. Tuesday, November 9th. This is D-Day for this guy. He's going to listen one more time. Tuesday, November 9th, and if I hear you minimize or ridicule those who are working hard to get this election fraud uncovered, then I'm switching to my old jazz station.
Please, please, please.
Wait.
Allow me.
Wait.
Allow me.
Yeah.
Okay, you happy now, Trump?
See, does that sound better than maybe getting some news about Iraq, maybe getting some news about the fact that they're trying to take evolution out of our schools? Does that sound better than maybe getting some news about how we lost this election on a practical level and what we need to do as a party?
So it doesn't happen again, you idiot?
Does that sound better to you to bury your head into bebop? You know what I mean? I understand, man. You know, jazz is a lot better, but is it better than weather and sports, you hypocrite? Anyway,
hey, look,
so,
I went home and listened to jazz the other day, you know, but it was from my own collection. I didn't listen to any radio station.
I'll listen to Sirius. I'll listen to the classic jazz on Sirius anytime. But the thing is, Liam, is that, you know, this is like, you know, what's with the ultimatums? What's with the bullyings? We'll report it as it comes out news. I'm not going to sit here and obsess about it. I'm definitely glad that people are trying to uncover this stuff, and we are definitely covering it. We talked to Gerald Nadler yesterday. He's one of the congressmen that are appealing to the General Accounting Office to look into this. We reported, you know, whatever factual evidence that we have, and we'll report it. You know, but I mean, to obsess about it just to placate your disappointment, I'm not going to do it.
Wait a minute. Looky here, money. Let's explain.
Who's money? Am I money?
No.
Oh,
he's money.
Okay, okay.
Liam. That's not Liam Neeson, is it?
No.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, looky here, money. The time to deal with voter fraud for 2008.
Let's call it election fraud.
Excuse me. Election fraud.
Yes.
All right. For 2008 is today. If you really want to deal with this, because there's been corruption in virtually every election America has ever conducted.
On both sides.
Let's be real. Yeah, on both sides. Let's be real about that. If you want to correct the problem, the time to start doing it is now. The time to start correcting the problems of the 2004 election was not after it. It was just after November 2000.
And, you know, and I just want to make clear that we're not, you know, I'm not trying to reprimand anybody or judge anybody, and I'm not trying to condescend to everybody, but the truth of the matter is that we have been aware of the possibility of this happening, you know, especially with this particular group of Republicans who, if you really want to argue it, are, you know, just extensions of the Republicans from the Goldwater Revolution. You know, if you really want to talk about it, we've known this was a possibility 2 years ago. And why the election polls, the polling places were understaffed, and why these machines were allowed to be used is beyond me. A lot of people fought that fight a year or so ago. Some of them had trouble, you know, getting that, you know, any sort of results, but there was some success in getting these machines out of particular polling areas, you know, through local government. Gerald Nadler yesterday said the only thing we can do is, you know, activate politically and maybe where we can, you know, get referendums on the ballots about these machines, you know, but as far as, you know, saying that this election, that John Kerry, you know, won the popular vote, I personally don't buy it. And if you're going to give me, you know, ultimatums and try and bully me, you know, it's fine. And if you don't want to listen because of that, that's fine. But I don't buy it. I believe that, you know, they on, you know, and we're going to report some of this, you know, this morning, you know, had a tremendous amount of their stuff together in ways that I didn't even know until I started doing some research today.
Well, look, here's a question for Liam there. All right. In 2000, actually early 2001, there was an effort to get someone in the United States Senate to stand up and speak to the issue of black disenfranchisement, which, by the way, included all of the things you just talked about.
Yeah.
In the 2000 election.
Yes.
You know what? Not a single senator, not one, got up and said a word. Now, did Liam write his senator or his two senators and castigate them for not speaking up for voter disenfranchisement? Because if they had done that then, maybe we wouldn't have had as many problems this time around.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, if you guys want to, you know, if you think that there's any difference between, you know, me and Mark being your anger puppets and just looking for some other form of entertainment, you know, I mean, then I think you're in a tremendous amount of denial. I think there are problems at the core of the party. I think there are problems about, you know, how, you know, we organize on a, you know, not just during election time, but all the way across the board. There's some hope about Howard Dean becoming a DNC chairman,
we'll get into that.
Which is which would be, you know, great news. There's a renewed interest in political activism, certainly since this election. And, you know, ask yourself another question. We are not, you know, dumping on John Kerry, but, you know, John Kerry conceded this election the following day, last Wednesday. All right, John Kerry has not been vocal about any of this at all. Why is that? If this is the guy you believe in, and this, and your case is so strong, why hasn't Senator John Kerry, you know, done his job as a senator to address this problem about election fraud? Why hasn't that happened?
Hey, Liam, you need to look to the east, my good man, and find out what the hell's going on in Iraq, because that's going to have political repercussions in this country that are going to be deep and are going to be as lasting as the questions of election fraud.
Yeah, and if we drop the ball on how this president, you know, is handling that war, how, you know, the issue of jihad, the issue of jihadists, the issue of terrorism, the issues of homeland security, what, did all this stuff just disappear? Is there no terrorism? Does that not exist? Is the war no longer important? Is it not frightening that there is a trial being held in a courtroom today trying to take evolution or trying to imply that evolutionary science is not appropriate to teach in school unless you teach creationism alongside of it? Is that not important stuff in 2004? Can I ask you that? We'll be back in a second on Air America Radio.
You can burn a few calories with this brain teaser from Cortislim. What do Stamford, Connecticut, Burbank, California, and the Cortislim lifestyle have in common? Here to tell us is Dr. Greg.
Well, the connection is that those cities each have a population of over 100,000 people. So, hypothetically, you might say that the entire population of, say, Abilene, Texas, not only ordered Cortislim one time, but ordered Cortislim again. And that doesn't surprise us at all, because over 100,000 reorders tells you that the Cortislim lifestyle, and that's managing everyday stress to create positive change, including your weight, along with proper diet, exercise, and Cortislim, well, it's working.
So when you hear that the number of customers who have reordered Cortislim is roughly equal to the entire population of Green Bay, ask yourself, wouldn't you be more comfortable stepping off the scale and into the Cortislim lifestyle this holiday season? It's as easy as calling 1-800-921-BURN. That's 800-921-BURN. Once again, 800-921-BURN.
Wouldn't it be great if some things were more convenient, like income tax preparation? Please select the second window for your refund.
Unfortunately, not everything can be convenient, but Radio Shack is. With over 7,000 stores, there's probably one in your neighborhood where you'll find the helpful service you want, plus the latest electronics, accessories, wireless phones, and gift ideas. So even though we'd all like a little more convenience...
Yeah, I'm here to take your driver's license photo.
It's nice to know Radio Shack really offers it. Radio Shack, you've got questions, we've got answers.
I try to teach my children what's important in life. So instead of Fruit Loops cereal, I buy Maltomeal Tutti Frutti's cereal. Maltomeal Tutti Frutti's tastes just as good and has all the same vitamins and minerals, plus more vitamin A and calcium. And we get 50% more cereal for about the same price. Lesson?
I know, it's what's inside that counts.
Look for Maltomeal Tutti Frutti's and over 20 other popular flavors, because Maltomeal means more. Part of a balanced breakfast. Claim based on net weight comparison of 22.5 ounces to 15 ounces. Fruit Loops is a registered trademark of Kellogg Company.
Don't settle for stale talk radio. Get guaranteed freshness with the new Stephanie Miller Show. Irreverent comedy and liberal attitude. All freshness dated for your protection. Get fresh with Stephanie Miller. 9 p.m. Eastern on Sirius Left 143. Right after the Young Turks and before Alan Cole. Sirius Left and Stephanie Miller, the Freshmakers.
Hey, sports fans, when you tune into Sirius Sports Radio, you want to hear about football. You want to hear about baseball. You want to hear about sports. And there's something else you should hear about, how to get good tickets for the game. When it comes to tickets for sporting events, you've got to check out StubHub.com. Started by two season ticket holders, StubHub.com is the number one site for sports, concerts, and theater tickets nationwide. Since StubHub tickets come directly from season ticket holders, you're getting access to the best seats. We're talking front row, behind home plate, on the 50, you name it. StubHub.com. Got it. So, you want tickets for an exciting sporting event or sold-out show? No problem. Just go to StubHub.com, find the seats you want, and your tickets will be delivered fast via FedEx. When you use StubHub.com, you'll always get the tickets you want in time for the game, 100% guaranteed. All right, here's the recap. Can't use your tickets? Sell them on StubHub.com. Want tickets? Go to StubHub.com. That's S-T-U-B-H-U-B. Visit StubHub.com today or call 1-866-STUBHUB.
StubHub! Hello, this is Alex Trebek for Choice Magazine Listening, a free service of the nonprofit Lucerna Fund. If you're unable to read because of blindness or other handicap, Choice Magazine Listening will send you on four-track cassettes selections from leading magazines. So for 8 hours of memorable writing every other month, completely free of charge, write Listening, Box 10, Port Washington, New York, 11050, or call 516-883-8280. Thank you.
You can have 20 million people around you all the time. When you don't have love for yourself, you're lonely.
Mary J. Blige, recording artist.
Drugs used to make me feel no pain at all. Once the feeling is gone, you're back to feeling like you're nobody. Love starts from inside you. I just accepted who I was. I accepted Mary. That feels the loneliness. When you really love you, it's a way of healing.
A message from the Partnership for a Drug-Free America.
There's a good reason why doctors and dentists are always washing their hands. Soap and hot water remove harmful bacteria, including the bugs that cause food-related illnesses. Keep it clean in the kitchen. Wash hands, utensils, and work surfaces thoroughly before preparing and eating a meal after handling raw poultry, meat, eggs, and seafood. This reminder brought to you by the Partnership for Food Safety Education.
Drip steam like a microphone fiend, like a microphone fiend, like a microphone fiend.
Like 20 past the hour. Mark Maron with Mark Riley.
I quit. That's it. I'm going to hell.
I'm going to condition.
Honey, I'm coming home.
That was Mark Riley getting caught off guard. That was here's something we like to do here occasionally to each other.
We were getting ready to go in to cut some spots.
Yeah, we're in the other studio cutting before we cut our spots, and a lot of time we do stuff on the mics that we just think is going out into the air, and Brendan Peter McDonald's like,
I can say that. So, thanks, Brendan.
So you got Riley. Oh,
yeah.
Man.
How'd you like to tell your girlfriend about that trip to the Seton Hotel over there?
Oh man, that's cold.
No, because you know, but you know, it's like here we are laughing,
Beyonce.
Joking. But you know, like,
how about your trip with Beyonce? How's that?
You know, sometimes women, like, you know, even when we're all laughing, it's a joke that, you know, later he'll get that
for it.
So what was Mark talking about exactly? Do you have that thing where, like, if you're watching a movie and there's something like, you know, a guy's having an affair in the movie or he does something really boyish and you kind of laugh at the wrong moment and then, like, you know, after the movie, it's sort of like, so why was that funny? I'm not sure I understand why that was funny.
Oh, no. You know what happens? It happens to me in reverse.
Uh-huh.
My wife watches those Lifetime original movies
where the women
can go, you know, to have sex with 25 different guys, but it's okay because they were all abusive.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
And then she lives happily ever after at the end of the movie, and I'm sitting there saying, What is that about?
Yeah.
And I said, well, don't you see that's justice?
Oh, right. So that's a lesson.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, my wife gets very jealous to the point where it makes me, you know, it makes me second guess myself. Like, you know what I mean? I have to be careful about how I talk about certain things.
Oh, no,
so
I
she
know.
Doesn't start to think that way.
Oh, no. You know where I get in trouble? If I mock the queen,
yeah.
then I get it because my wife's British.
So oh, really?
Yeah. So if I say something about Liz, then I got not Liz Winstead, obviously, the queen.
Yeah.
You know, the sovereign of England.
Yeah.
So like, don't mock the queen.
Really?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
So that's like embedded in her head.
Yeah.
That you can't mock the queen.
You cannot mock the queen. It's something that I think that it's a chip that they put in the head of every Briton.
Oh, that's why. See, my wife, who just left yesterday, or today, this morning, it's last night,
last
I guess.
Night?
Yeah, I lose track. It's always difficult.
Did you go to the airport?
No, I couldn't. I had to go to bed.
I know.
But, you know, this is the first time in my life, Riley, and I'll be honest with you, that I haven't, I'm not hiding anything.
Uh-oh.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, and it's, you know what's great about that is you can actually confidently look in their eye and say, no, nothing is going on.
Yeah.
And you know that you're not, we shouldn't know.
Well, no, you see, because the difference is, back in the day, you could confidently look them in the eye, tell them nothing's going on, and be lying through your teeth about it.
Right, and I used to be amazed at what a great actor I was.
Yeah, me too.
I mean, I often
watch me pull a rabbit out of my head.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh,
well, that was
how much energy that took to juggle all that.
That's the problem.
Oh my god,
it takes years off your
life. Job.
Yeah, it is. It is because you got to keep track of everything.
I know.
No, I told you this. Okay. No, did I tell you that?
It's the worst.
Yeah.
I'm very happy.
Really bites,
I am very happy to be loyal to my wife.
Me too.
It's kind of rough that she's in another state.
Yeah.
But, you know, I, not rough being loyal, but just rough being lonely.
Yeah.
Aww. Hey, I just want to put this out there. I've been putting this out there, you know, every day because I think it's important. If you are a Democrat or you're feeling despair or you're feeling hopeless, do yourself a favor. Get offline. Stop looking at electoral maps. All right. Those are just, you know, the exploitation of two basic colors to make us feel lonely.
Yeah.
All right. If you look at electoral maps, you think the only solution is that we, you know, devolve, grow gills, and move back into the ocean. And maybe we can start, you know, beautiful liberal progressive democratic societies when we find the old Atlantis and we can move in. But I just want to put this out there that in the red states, you know, where the Reds live, you know who they are.
Yes.
So it's a reinterpretation of the word. We got some pretty good suggestions from some listeners about beginning to reframe language, and I want to thank you for that. I will thank you in person when I find the email. Maybe I'll do it right now. Can I?
Sure.
That's right. Who was that? I don't know if they want to. They want us to...
Just say a listener.
Yeah. Who said, first time listener this morning, you had a discussion on the issue framing good. You referred to gay marriage as a moral issue several times, non-ironically, bad. Suggested alternative, family rights, which would address a broader spectrum of the issue and not make it and take their language away. You also mentioned health care for the poor a few times. That's not something that's going to ignite many passions, especially not in the face of the government bureaucracy meme. And the meme, now we're getting deep.
Yeah, right.
How about children's health, or better yet, war on disease? These are pretty good suggestions, but the one I liked the best was your comment on creationist BS in public schools were good, but didn't quite gel into a reframe. How about fact-based education? I like that one.
There
That'll
it is.
Stick. Fact-based education. This is how this stuff works, you know, and this is all in reference to George Lakoff, who we had on the show very early on, who I actually spoke to before I took this job, because I was panicking on how to start talking about certain things, and I looked him up and I found an article on him, and I actually began an email relationship with him. And he was very helpful. This Don't Think of an Elephant is sort of a compressed edition of his work in terms of how framing language can, you know, really begin to redefine the cultural language, which I think is important, certainly, in what the Democrats have to achieve, you know, more quickly than the Republicans had, which was like 30 years of think tanks. But,
yeah.
You know, we do need creative people on this, because I went to a Rockridge Institute, that is Lakoff's website, and though he's very intuitive about framing, some of his suggestions of reframes I found were, you know, not quite punchy enough. So if you've got any suggestions on how to interpret some of the major issues our country faces in terms of sound bites and language, I am trying to get people who are in advertising to quit their jobs just for a couple of years to help out with this. And if you do, write us, and we'll get you on an email relationship going. But I do want to say this about the red states. In Georgia, 41% of the people voted against Bush. Colorado, 47% of the people voted against Bush. Kentucky, 40% against Bush. Arizona, 44% against Bush. Arkansas, 45% against Bush. Missouri, 46%. Nevada, 48%. Virginia, 45%. West Virginia, 43%. North Carolina, 44%. South Carolina, 41% against Bush. Tennessee, 43% against Bush. Mississippi, 41%. Louisiana, 42%. Florida, 47%. With the jury still out there. And Texas, 38%. These are fascinating numbers, because if you look at the electoral map and you start to buy in to the sort of red state, blue state mythology, you're going to start becoming prejudiced. You're going to start, you know, encouraging a sort of civil war mentality. The truth of the matter is that this country politically is still, you know, very, very, you know, almost evenly divided. And it's not a time to alienate the people in the so-called red states. You know, they are not dumb crackers. They are not, you know, people who are uninformed. They are not stupid people. They are people who live in different states, and the majority in some of those states, you know, happens to be trending, you know, obviously Republican. But we can't give up on these people, and we can't decide that there is some sort of, you know, either cultural civil war or, you know, secession situation or leaving the country, because these people are Americans and they live in these states, and that's a reality. And we need to, you know, continue to, you know, stay together on this.
Well, isn't it amazing, Mark, that the numbers that you just quoted are very close to the same numbers that Bush got from Hispanics, and they consider that to be a huge triumph.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Bush got 42% of the Hispanic vote. That's great. But, you know, 42%, 41% of Georgia goes for Kerry, and it's like, oh, my God. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's all context. It really is all context.
I just want to try to stop the, you know, the sort of crackerization, you know, the way we look at the South. I guess we'll talk about Fallujah when we get back, right?
Yeah, we'll talk about Fallujah. And, hey, Ray, I'll see you later, all right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Tomorrow,
thanks, buddy.
Man.
Okay,
thanks,
buddy.
Appreciate that. We got the Palm Pilot coming up, the Liberal Agenda, and much more here on Air America Radio.
This is a Mother Jones Minute. Last Tuesday gave many of us the election hangover of a lifetime. But the 2004 campaign should also give us reasons to believe this bleak political situation can be turned around. 2 years ago, Democrats were dead in the water, and progressives were playing permanent defense against a popular president whose record got little scrutiny from the media. In 18 short months, progressive organizations formed a grassroots coalition that forced the GOP to pull out every stop in this election. We've seen the launch of key new players in progressive media like Air America, the blossoming of organizations like True Majority and MoveOn.org, and broad coalitions like National Voice, whose promise is only beginning to be fulfilled. These efforts produced huge gains in voter participation among youth, women on their own, communities of color, and first-time voters. Let's not delude ourselves. What's been accomplished isn't enough, and there's tough work ahead. But the time for grief and disbelief is over. Let's celebrate what's been gained and build on it. This has been a Mother Jones Minute.
Cracked up plays George Carlin. Rotor plays him too. Cracked up plays the cleaner bits. And Rotor plays the blue. Rotor's 147. Cracked up's 146. Both play lots of comedy and other funny shit.
Cracked Up and Raw Dog, two flavors of funny from Sirius.
If FM could, they probably would. It's radio that's cool. No FCC rules.
All your important files are on your office PC. What do you do when you want to work from home or access a file while traveling? You copy files to disk, email documents home, or sync up your laptop. What a hassle. Now, there's a perfect solution for working from anywhere at any time. With GoToMyPC.com, you can always have complete access to everything on your office PC from any other internet-connected computer. It's easy to use and highly secure. You simply log into GoToMyPC.com and your office PC appears just as if you were at your desk. Work with all your programs and files. Check emails and access your network. Try GoToMyPC free for 45 days. Visit GoToMyPC.com. Click on the radio listener button and enter promo code SIRIUS. GoToMyPC is incredibly easy to use. Setup is completely automatic and takes less than 2 minutes. That's GoToMyPC.com. Radio listener button, promo code SIRIUS. Try GoToMyPC.com now, free for 45 days.
This is Earth and Sky. The Guinness Book of World Records calls mercaptans the smelliest substance in existence.
You might have encountered them in skunk spray, rotting meat, bad breath, or swamp water. The official name for a mercaptan is thiol, and there are thousands of different kinds. They're organic molecules with a chemical structure like that of alcohol, except instead of oxygen atoms, there's a sulfur atom in its place. And that sulfur is what accounts for mercaptan's characteristic stench.
Our human noses have an exquisite sensitivity to mercaptans. In billions of molecules of air, we can detect just a few mercaptan molecules. When you say, "I smell gas," you're really smelling mercaptans. Natural gas is odorless. Gas companies add a mercaptan to natural gas so we can detect even tiny gas leaks.
Some scientists use mercaptans for a quality other than its smell. Mercaptans like bonding to DNA. In laboratory studies of genes, special mercaptans that fluoresce or are brightly colored are attached to specific genes to tag them. That allows scientists to follow them during reactions.
But scientists tell us that even in the lab, handling mercaptans is a stinky job. Special thanks today to the Camille and Henry Dreyfus Foundation, a private foundation dedicated to advancing research and education in the chemical sciences. We're Block and Bird for Earth and Sky.
It was way too much for my body, and I started tripping really, really bad. I curled up in a ball in a corner, started ripping out my hair, then slit my wrist with a steak knife, fell into a coma, and had to get my stomach pumped. I'm now in therapy in a rehab group. At school, I'm not even called by my name anymore. People just refer to me as that junkie.
This 15-year-old didn't die using ecstasy, though she probably wished she had. Leave ecstasy alone. To learn how or to read other real-life ecstasy tragedies, visit drugfreeamerica.org.
Close your eyes and imagine you're on an unspoiled beach. Sunlight streaming through the palm leaves. A paradise like this isn't easy to come by, but it does still exist because the Nature Conservancy works locally to save precious places around the world forever. That way, closing your eyes will never be the only way to get there. Help save the last great places. Visit the Nature Conservancy at nature.org.
Four past the hour, Mark Maron, that's Mark Riley.
Hi!
Let's not forget, the neocon death cult is still intact. It's stronger than ever, and we need to resist and continue to inform on what they are up to. Thank God that Ramon, or Ray Ray, as we now call him, for whatever reason, and I don't know why he was wearing goggles today, but...
Oh, wow.
He's got this new thing where he can hack into anybody in the administration's Palm Pilot. So today we've got Donald Rumsfeld's Palm Pilot. 0600, wake up. 100 one-arm push-ups, each arm. If unsuccessful, refer to self as Maggot and go put on a dress. 0700 hours. Practice giving patronizing answers to reporter dummy. Do 10 reps of the withering gaze over the glasses. 0730. 0730 hours. Receive situation report about Fallujah assault. Regardless of latest intel, demand the results be achieved with half the troops. Plus, from now on, all briefings should be delivered by half as many officers. 0800 hours. Review transcript of yesterday's press conference. See if I can decipher what I said. Demand that results be achieved with half the verbs. 1100 hours. Call President Bush. Brief him for his upcoming visit to wounded soldiers. Note, tell him to keep the backslapping to a minimum. 12:30, lunch. This meal needs to be lighter, more mobile. Utilize the latest anti-hunger technology. 1,400 hours. Think of snappy military euphemism for upcoming draft. Mandatory personnel enhancement. Or maybe extreme national service. Idea. Have draft notices contain the language, "Congratulations, you may already be a soldier." 1600 to 1900 hours. Review tactical strategies for seizing Fallujah. 1900 to 1905 hours. Review plans for securing peace in Fallujah, time permitting. 2000. 2000 hours. Is that how you say it? 2000. 2000. You know, look at me, Mr. Military. 2000 hours. 2000 hours. Lights out, soldier. Lights out, soldier. Note, dreams need to be lighter, more mobile, more flying dreams. There you go. All right, so now to the serious task of covering, you know, what is turning out to be one of the most brutal and intense assaults, military assaults in the war, as in my memory, since Baghdad, anyways.
This is the taking of Fallujah, and the U.S. Marines that are charged with so doing have taken over a railroad station in that city of 300,000, and they've made it their own. They've built privies, and they've actually arrested some people and detained them there. So that apparently is their new base. But, you know, Mark, there's some really conflicting stories in what's going on in Fallujah,
mm-hmm.
one of which is the number of civilians that are actually left in the city. There was one story that said that 70 to 90% of Fallujah's 300,000 residents had already abandoned the city. Now, if it's at the high end of that, if 90% left, that would leave 30,000 civilians in Fallujah.
Right.
Yet an American military official on the ground there says he estimates there are about 100,000 civilians left in Fallujah, three times as many. Now, that's important because if there are large numbers of if there are civilian casualties,
yeah.
the difference between 100,000 people being left and 30,000 people being left is all the difference in the world. Which, that means you've got more civilians you're going to end up hurting.
Well, either way, it means civilians are going to die in either, you know, large numbers or larger numbers, unfortunately. And, you know, we talked to Borzu Dargahi, our reporter friend in Baghdad, who said that he had thought that most of the population had left.
Yeah.
And he's on the ground there. I don't know what it means. I don't know why there are conflicting reports. But the other thing that is also sort of interesting is something we've been reporting all along, is that a lot of these Iraqi National Guard people, the trained Iraqi soldiers, are being encouraged by Muslim clerics to abandon their posts in fighting with the Americans.
Yeah, now here's the problem that you have. On the one hand, you have desertions of Iraqi troops that are actually fighting alongside the Americans. Number two, you've got Iraqis who were scheduled to fight alongside the Americans who never showed up for duty.
Yeah.
And number three, you've got these Muslim clerics all over the city of Fallujah broadcasting appeals not to fight alongside the Americans.
And as our guest yesterday, Colonel
W. Patrick Lang.
Yeah, W. Patrick Lang said that, you know, a lot of these Iraqis are not hedging, they're hedging their bets. They're
yes.
not betting on the Americans. They're not betting on Alawi. If the Americans leave and Alawi fails and these guys fight against their own people, I mean, they are going to become the hunted, you know, when, you know, in the new Iraq, whatever that looks like. And on the other side of that, it seems to me, and maybe you can help me out because, you know, you're better at speculating, that because of this, these clerics putting a wedge in, these are high-profile clerics and not just radical clerics saying this stuff, that we might be heading towards a civil war situation there.
Well, right now, you've got the clerics united. I mean, the Sunni clerics and Muqtada al-Sadr, who's one of the insurgent Shiite clerics, have mm-hmm. all said, don't fight.
Mm-hmm.
But see, the minute that this is resolved, they're going to go back to dealing with each other. The problem that you have, Mark, is that this is Alawi's supreme test. If this doesn't work out, or if large numbers of civilians are killed, the Americans are going to get blamed anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But watch what happens in terms of Iraqi popular sentiment towards Alawi.
Right.
Because Alawi is seen by the Iraqis, apparently, if these reports are to be believed, as the spearhead of this entire thing. Now, is he a liberator or is he a collaborator?
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be the ultimate question that's decided here.
How that's going to come out. And also, you were just telling me that there's a report that the troops are doing their own psyops and they're playing early AC/DC in the streets of Fallujah.
Yeah.
Which I think could go either way. Either it'll drive them crazy or some people come out, you know, with the double Satan sign in their hands going, "This rocks!"
Yeah.
Depending on what album it is, that could go either way.
Well, this is definitely old AC/DC songs. Now, what they're doing, And the reason
like
why,
old, like Bon Scott old? Or?
They don't right, say in okay, the copy. But see, they're bringing these PSYOPs trucks in because they're trying to compete with the messages that are coming out of the mosques in Fallujah, which is essentially jihad. You know, death to the infant. You know,
they're trying to fight that with, for those about to rise.
Yep, exactly. And cavalry charges. That part, too. They got that on.
So they go from cavalry charges to maybe a
whole lot of roses.
Yep. Exactly. Now, I don't know. See, I guess what they're trying to do is negate the other message more than send a message through AC/DC to the Iraqis, who I'm sure have never heard of it, or the cavalry charges.
Right.
I just want to compete.
I would pick some more annoying music. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. It's an incredible situation because this is a high stakes game. You'll notice
George Michaels.
I want your, not that George Michaels.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Or what's some other annoying music that they could play in place of that?
Night in Tunisia?
Yeah.
No, he did that already. Look, Rumsfeld.
All right, sorry.
Donald Rumsfeld has been on the down low since what? September, early October. Now he's back up front again, holding news conferences. He is now the man, he's setting himself up, apparently, to be the liberator of Fallujah. I don't know how that's going to work out since there's been so much speculation that Rumsfeld's going to go in favor of, guess who?
Wolfowitz.
That's right.
That's awful.
King Neocon.
And this needs to be, like, you know, we need to get back on the same page and start fighting this stuff. We need to get this information out there. This is heinous. Yeah. I mean, this is a guy, all these guys were on the border of being, just on the edge of being completely demonized. I mean, almost half the country wanted these guys out. And there was arguments, like, even a year ago, Mark Riley, that we were talking about, not a year ago, but obviously 6 months ago, is that many of these guys should have resigned, you know, after the Abu Ghraib things, that when that started revealing itself. You know, and then some of these, you know, transgressions in Guantanamo. I mean, there's talk that Ashcroft might go. But the idea that Wolfowitz might actually be a candidate to step in for defense,
yeah,
it's just like, it's horrifying because these guys should have gone down. It was their fault that, you know, this vision of how Iraq was supposed to unfold has become such a quagmire, such a disaster, that, you know, their inability to separate philosophy from reality is why we're in the quagmire we're in.
But you know what? If they can take Fallujah with a minimum number of civilian casualties, which is what Rumsfeld said in the press conference yesterday, he said, yeah, we're not, American troops aren't going to go around killing civilians. We'll see. But if they are successful in doing that, it breathes new life into that entire neocon movement, including, scary enough, dealing with Iran, which is still on their agenda.
You know, and when we come back, we're going to talk about, you know, a lot of people talk about moral issues, which is a mislabeling, but about the mobilization of the evangelical vote for Bush. Now, I'm surprised to see just how much and how organized the industrial vote, the business vote was for Bush. And
yeah,
we're going to talk about that when we come back. It's 43 past the hour. You're listening to Morning Sedition on Air America Radio.
Mr. President, because the state of our feelings can narrow the range of our insights, deceptions are easily hidden in presumptions of innocence, and because every brick in hell is molded by habits and perspectives, war is always compelled by limits and understanding. Therefore, for dignity, please remember, any spiritual precept thought to be above criticism is too vainly filled with pride to leave room for divine humanity or moral governance. For contemplative education at Motto Citizens, behind the book and the oracle for the way to see whole, my name is Gola Wolf Richards. And for victory over blood spilled by confusion, I believe that nothing beats a failure but a try. Therefore, I wrote and recorded Silver Lessons for Global Citizenship, among other works that are Speaking for Virtue at MOTTOCitizens.com.
Sudden ups and downs, breathtaking twists and turns. No, it's not a roller coaster, it's the stock market. But Barron's, America's premier financial weekly, can help you make money whichever way the market moves. Now you can get 13 weeks of Barron's plus the valuable guide to building wealth and 4 weeks of Barron's online, all for only $39. This offer is available to new subscribers in the continental U.S. Call now 800-858-5800. That's 800-858-5800 for Barron's.
Wouldn't it be great if some things were more convenient, like income tax preparation?
Please pull up to the second window for your refund. Unfortunately, not everything can be convenient, but Radio Shack is. With over 7,000 stores, there's probably one in your neighborhood where you'll find the helpful service you want, plus the latest electronics, accessories, wireless phones, and gift ideas. So even though we'd all like a little more convenience...
Yeah, I'm here to take your driver's license photo.
It's nice to know Radio Shack really offers it. Radio Shack, you've got questions, we've got answers.
Don't settle for stale talk radio. Get guaranteed freshness with the new Stephanie Miller Show. Irreverent comedy and liberal attitude. All freshness dated for your protection. Get fresh with Stephanie Miller. 9 p.m. Eastern on Sirius Left 143. Right after the Young Turks and before Alan Cole. Sirius Left and Stephanie Miller, the Freshmakers.
What do you do when your teenager is disrespectful to your spouse? I'm Mark Merrill with today's Family Minute. Your daughter says, "I hate you. You're the worst mom in the world." Or she lets a few choice words fly at your husband. What do you do? Well, you can just ignore it and let your spouse and child work it out. But what kind of message does that send to your child? They need to see a unified mom and dad. Parents who support each other with words and actions. If you don't like the way your spouse handled or treated your child, talk it out privately. Otherwise, send a clear, firm, and unified message to your child. Remember, your family first.
The Family Minute with Mark Merrill is a production of Family First. To find out about ways you can build a stronger family, go to FamilyMinute.net. That's FamilyMinute.net or call 1-800-956-8300. That's 1-800-956-8300.
Alcohol is a tough topic for parents and kids to talk about. Sometimes you'd rather say nothing, but that's no solution. If you're a parent, talk to your children about alcohol and what you expect of them. Then listen to what they have to say. And be sure to use alcohol responsibly yourself. Good parenting is the best defense against underage drinking. Use it. To find out more, contact the National Clearinghouse for Alcohol and Drug Information at 800-729-6686.
Sex, drugs, and rock and roll?
I don't know.
Peace, love, and fireworks. That's a good one.
And we're talking about people losing their lives over maybe starting by popping one pill in or shooting something into your body. It's like people need to know the truth and know what they're getting themselves into. Because your mind is worth so much more than this. Me personally, I wanted the truth. You know what I mean? I want to know what's going on. This has been Nate Sally with a message from MAP and the Partnership for a Drug-Free America.
Let's be blunt about marijuana. Did you know, as many kids do, that blunt is street slang for a hollowed-out cigar filled with marijuana? Sometimes blunts contain marijuana mixed with cocaine, crack, PCP, methamphetamine, even embalming fluid. How's that for a reality check? Learn to have a blunt talk with your kids about drugs. Call 1-800-729-6686 for a free copy of Keeping America's Youth Drug-Free.
Man, I think that's the wrong thing to play in the middle of Fallujah. They're only going to get those guys worked up. They're not going to get them. They're not going to screw with their heads. I mean, man, how can you not listen to a whole lot of Rosie and not want to shoot something off? Anyway.
But wait a minute. You think that resonates more than Allah Akbar and that sort of thing that they're broadcasting to try and compete with this?
Well, I just like, you know, if what they're trying to get them to do is to, like, you know, distract them by making them starting to play air guitar with their rocket launchers.
That may not work.
You just see insurgents on the roof with their rocket launchers on their shoulder. They start cranking all out of road. And they take it off their shoulder and start playing it like it's a guitar. I mean, that's the strategy. I think that's why they're playing early AC/DC. It's like, there's one. He's playing air guitar. Get him. Wait. Hey. Yeah.
Oh.
And he was a new AC/DC fan. So, Mark Riley, I'm Mark Maron. Did you know that?
Hi.
And you're listening to Morning's Edition on Air America. We're going to talk about business, but I just want to say that you know, we will report on election fraud as the reports come in a real way. We have said we are going to check back with Congressman Gerald Nadler on their progress in terms of approaching the General Accounting Office. We talked to him yesterday. And I have to be honest, that people who are hung up on the idea that the Republicans stole this election, you know, are on some level, you know, they're angry, and I understand that, but there is some denial going on, and I have to say that they are unwilling or unable to face the colder, harder, darker reality of this election. I mean, the fact is that the Democratic Party and the progressive movement have been getting beaten up and down for years and decades. We're a movement with no discernible direction and no clear leadership. The fact is that in the last 40 years, the progressive movement and the Democratic Party have managed to produce only one leader. Am I right?
Bill Clinton.
Who has galvanized widespread support on a national level, and thanks to the right wing spin machine and his own failings, you know, his political legacy, which should have been like a shining example, remains a little bit murky at best. The fact is, George W. Bush is one of the worst presidents in our nation's history, and it is an indictment of our party's leadership that the 2004 presidential election was close at all. The fact is that while many of the visionary ideas and goals of the Republican Party are horribly misguided and destructive, at least they have visionary ideas and goals.
To quote James Carville, who apparently was at a breakfast yesterday, I think, sponsored by the Christian Science Monitor, where they were, you know, doing the whole glum election obituary or whatever. The purpose of a political party is to win elections. We, meaning the Democrats, haven't been doing that.
Right.
It is that simple.
And the fact is we've been spending more time, you know, reacting to the right than you know, we spend setting our own agenda. And our candidates spend more time apologizing for our core beliefs than they spend championing them. I mean, that's a real thing, you know. And there is no hope to... I shouldn't say that. That was the wrong thing to say. There is hope, right? Because, like, you know, I have numbers here. And the fact is that, you know, when it comes to issues, almost all Americans agree with us, all right? And they should because, you know, we, the Democrats, liberals, and progressives, are right. And the right is wrong. And that is an advantage that a million Karl Roves cannot overcome ever, all right? Now, 61% of the voters say gays should be allowed to marry or at least form civil union. 55% say abortion should be legal in all or most cases. 55% say Bush pays more attention to the interests of large corporations. Okay, let's stop right there and go into the ideas of large corporations. And I just want to say in closing that the fact that if liberal whiners want to spend the next 4 years denying these fundamental problems and crying about how the Republicans stole the elections and they are doing the right wing, they are doing the right wing the greatest service imaginable, because that means 4 more years before the fundamental problems that are at the core of our party, you know, don't get addressed. I mean, and, you know, thank God that, you know, they're sort of trying to maneuver Howard Dean into the Democratic National Committee chairman.
Yeah.
That would be a good start. And now it's like, you know, where is the next Bill Clinton? Who's out there? You know, where are the sprouts? And it's obviously dealing with election fraud and dealing with certainly structural problems within the electoral system absolutely has to be done.
There's some interesting people in some interesting places that might end up being the nominee in 2008. But you know what? This whole thing about business,
yes,
business now ponying up to the bar trying to get a drink after Bush, you know, after they helped Bush buy the liquor license, is a very interesting one because, Mark, it includes our business.
Yeah.
It includes broadcasting.
Sure.
It includes media. People always thought, there's liberal media bias. The media is corporate, by and large.
Yeah, liberals don't believe there's a liberal media bias, that's for sure.
No, I mean, liberals don't believe it, and conservatives shouldn't either, because what media exhibits is a corporate bias. It is concerned primarily and predominantly with making money, just like somebody that you know, manufactures widgets in a warehouse someplace. They are into making money, and the bottom line is they will put anything on television. They will make a film about anything that they think will make money.
Right.
And if it offends the sensibilities of the same red state conservatives,
yes,
who decry the liberal media bias, then so be it. What's happened here is a very, very skillful effort on the part of Republicans like Karl Rove to Velcro the values issue to this, quote, liberal media elite, and Velcro that to the ordinary, run-of-the-mill, rank-and-file Democrat, which,
right,
of course, is nonsense.
Right.
You know,
well, the weird thing is that, like, I had no idea on some level just how mobilized and how specific the Republican, you know, propaganda machine was in terms of how they mobilized
you know, bosses and businesses, and, you know, and how they had the bosses of businesses and the leaders of business, you know, urge their employees to vote and educate themselves on the pro-business candidates. They actually mobilized business, not unlike the Christian fundamentalist leaders mobilized the evangelical vote. Mm-hmm. There was real grassroots action being taken for years and years, you know, to mobilize industry and to get those people out to vote. You know, I mean, you know, the Democrats, you know, historically have the trade unions, at least the leaders of the trade unions, but it was very interesting how these certain businesses, certain industries, you know, i.e. pharmaceuticals, obviously, but yeah, real estate gave $43 million to the GOP. That's 59% of that, you know, of that money. Securities and investment, $34.7 million. Health professionals, $34 million. Insurance, $18.8 million. And on down the list, you know, contractors, commercial banks, if they you know, follow through. Now, all these businesses are like banking. He's waiting for this Social Security reform and all this stuff.
That's exactly the point, and a lot of people miss this. The reason why these investment firms, the reason why these securities companies, and the reason why that industry has contributed so much to this election cycle is because they're waiting for the windfall that they will make if and when Social Security is privatized. Mm-hmm. And see, what people don't understand, I think, Mark, is that these folks are looking at a number of small situations. For example, changing health insurance rules that in a way that benefits not the employees, but the corporations. We got 45 million people without health care. Do you think corporate America, in their heart of hearts, is prepared to cut that in half? I don't think so.
No.
Not if it's going to cost them a nickel.
I really think they just look at the bottom line and they just assume that eventually either people will learn how to heal themselves or die. And that's just the nature of how the, you know, in their eyes, that, you know, it's sort of forced evolutionary theory. You know, I'm not sure what you call it, but it's sort of like gun control. It's like the reason they're anti-gun control is they assume the people that are shooting each other, you know, that's fine. It's weeding it out.
Yeah.
You know, they assume that the people
natural
that can't.
Selection.
Right. That's exactly it. They assume that the people that can't get health care, the tough ones will live and create tougher children. And then, you know, we can give them even less health care. You know, they're just hoping that, you know, I'm sure they start meetings at, you know, in the NRA, they start meetings, you know, within the health, you know, pharmaceutical industry by saying, okay, let's assume the poor people don't die.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? You know, what do we do? You know, how do we, you know, continue to force them to adapt and keep them out of the loop? It's a horrifying reality of how politics works.
Yep.
That was pretty big.
But it is how it works.
Yeah. Here's the liberal agenda from the Streisand compound. Here you go for today. One, consult Elizabeth Kubler-Ross's Stages of Grief. Try to move from denial and anger into bargaining. Two, screw it. Blow past bargaining straight into depression. Three, as a motivational tool, keep repeating the phrase Chief Justice Clarence Thomas to yourself. Stop if you start cramping. Four, if Bush tries to reach out to Democrats, sue him for sexual harassment. Five, phrase of the day, if anyone asks you where you're from, look into the distance with steely resolve and pronounce, until the killing stops, I am a citizen of Fallujah.
Oh, my goodness.
What do we got next hour? We're going to talk about the evangelical vote.
Yeah, we're going to talk with Michael Tomasky, who's one of my main men.
You guys are old buddies?
Yeah. Michael used to work at New York Magazine. He's now the executive editor of The American Prospect. And we're going to talk about the lessons learned from the election. You've got your dream diary coming up. The Presidential Daily Briefing, Liberal Confessional.
Yes.
And, of course, later this morning, we talk to the author of Black Hawk Down, Mark Bowden.
All right.
Here for you on Air America Radio.
Yes.
You love the game, you love your team, and you love your friends and family. So to get home safely, you hand off your keys to a sober designated driver. America's all-star team of sports leagues, stadium service partners, brewers, broadcasters, and traffic safety experts thank the sober designated drivers who make sure you buckle up and get home safely. For more information on techniques for effective alcohol management, visit www.teamcoalition.org.
I started hearing voices telling me, you're dying, you're dying. I couldn't make them stop. My heart kept speeding up and slowing down. Now I feel paranoid all the time, and I can't tell what is real and what isn't. I'm on medication, but it doesn't help. Sometimes I believe I'm already dead and in hell.
Unfortunately, this 19-year-old learned that happiness and a heightened sense of touch aren't the only side effects of ecstasy. Leave ecstasy alone. To learn how or to read other real-life ecstasy tragedies, visit drugfreeamerica.org.
Ben.
I am the Edison Photograph. To delight those who would have melody on.
Now,
Sirius Satellite Fresh. It's on.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. The leadership of the United Nations Nuclear Watchdog Agency says it's just a matter of time before the world becomes more vulnerable to nuclear terrorist attacks. This because of the extensive illicit market in nuclear and radioactive materials after September 11, 2001. Mohammed El-Baradi of the International Atomic Energy Agency says there are more than two dozen companies and individuals engaged in the sale of nuclear materials and more than 60 incidents of trafficking in nuclear or other radioactive material expected this year alone. Baradi concludes that the threat of nuclear terrorism is real and current. He is calling on the world to do more to counter the threat that now exists. Bush won re-election in part by successfully convincing the American voters in the red states that they would be far more safer if allowed another term in the White House by him as opposed to the Democratic challenger. Now that the debate on that question is over, for now, there are still more signs that the real safety issue remains a question that all Americans should be concerned about. CIA officer and author Michael Schur says that there are fewer experienced officers assigned to defeating the Al-Qaeda terrorist network and Osama bin Laden now than there were in 2001. In Iraq, the U.S.-led offensive to flush out insurgents in Fallujah is well underway, with an untold number of Iraqi casualties reported. General Richard Myers, the chair of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, says the campaign to weed out the insurgents will not be relegated to Fallujah alone.
This will not be the last use of force in Iraq to rid Iraq of the former regime elements and the foreign fighters who do not want Iraq to be successful. So there will be other opportunities, maybe not as dramatic and as big as Fallujah, but there will be other opportunities.
In related development, Charles Pena of the Cato Institute, the prestigious American think tank, says that the capture of Jordanian terrorist mastermind Abu Musab al-Zarqawi will not necessarily stop the insurgency.
Al-Zarqawi represents just one part of a multifaceted insurgency that's going on in Iraq. He had plenty of warning to leave Fallujah, and just as we went after bin Laden in Tora Bora, I fear that we may come up empty-handed in this case also.
Charles Pena of the Cato Institute. In other news, ailing Palestinian leader Yasser Arafat's condition worsened overnight. According to hospital officials in France, and the coma he has been in for almost a week has deepened. General Christian Estrapo, the spokesman for the Percy Military Training Hospital outside Paris, said the deterioration in Palestinian leader's condition marks a significant stage. State of the health of President Arafat worsened in the night of November 8th through November 9th. Estrapo did not issue a prognosis, but suggested that Arafat's chances of recovery were extremely poor. Comatose state that led to his transfer to intensive care grew deeper this morning, and we'll be keeping you abreast of all late developments with regard to that story. Wayne Gilman, Air America Radio News.
Don't settle for stale talk radio. Get guaranteed freshness with the new Stephanie Miller Show. Irreverent comedy and liberal attitude. All freshness dated for your protection. Get fresh with Stephanie Miller. 9 p.m. Eastern on Sirius Left 143. Right after the Young Turks and before Alan Cole. Sirius Left and Stephanie Miller, the Freshmakers.
All your important files are on your office PC. What do you do when you want to work from home or access a file while traveling? You copy files to disk, email documents home, or sync up your laptop. What a hassle. Now, there's a perfect solution for working from anywhere at any time. With GoToMyPC.com, you can always have complete access to everything on your office PC from any other internet-connected computer. It's easy to use and highly secure. You simply log into GoToMyPC.com and your office PC appears just as if you were at your desk. Work with all your programs and files, check emails, and access your network. Try GoToMyPC free for 45 days. Visit GoToMyPC.com, click on the radio listener button, and enter promo code SIRIUS. GoToMyPC is incredibly easy to use. Setup is completely automatic and takes less than 2 minutes. That's GoToMyPC.com. Radio listener button, promo code SIRIUS. Try GoToMyPC.com now, free for 45 days.
This is Earth and Sky. Tom Niefamer writes, since 70% of the planet is covered with water,
How much does ocean plant life contribute to our planet's oxygen supply?
Tom, scientists agree that there's oxygen from ocean plants in every breath we take. Most of this oxygen comes from tiny ocean plants called phytoplankton that live near the water surface and drift with the currents. Like all plants, they photosynthesize. That is, they use sunlight and carbon dioxide to make food. A byproduct of photosynthesis is oxygen.
Scientists believe that phytoplankton contribute between 50 to 85% of the oxygen in Earth's atmosphere. They aren't sure because it's a tough thing to calculate. In the lab, scientists can determine how much oxygen is produced by a single phytoplankton cell. The hard part is figuring out the total number of these microscopic plants throughout Earth's oceans. Phytoplankton wax and wane with the seasons. Phytoplankton blooms happen in spring when there's more available light and nutrients.
And the density of phytoplankton varies. They sometimes float just at the surface. At other times and places, they can be 100 meters, about 100 yards, thick. Tom, thanks for your question.
And special thanks today to the Camille and Henry Dreyfus Foundation, a private foundation dedicated to advancing research and education in the chemical sciences. We're Block and Bird for Earth and Sky.
Mark Maron, you're listening to Air America Radio at 6 past the hour, and this is Morning Sedition.
Good morning, geniuses, philosopher kings and queens. Welcome aboard. How are you? Mark Maron here with Mark Riley. We are not your anger puppets.
No.
We are not your anger puppets.
Not yet.
That's right. Listen, folks, we are covering everything we think we need to cover here. Yesterday, we had Congressman Gerald Nadler on to talk about him and four, it might be even growing, a number of congressmen who are approaching the General Accounting Office in relation
accountability, they changed it.
Okay. General Accountability Office, which is a fairly historically nonpartisan group.
Yes, it is. It is
to address the possible election fraud. We are not going to cover it obsessively in order to placate your anger and your feelings of injustice. Certainly this issue has been out there for a couple of years. There was certainly in some respects action should have been taken earlier, and I'm certainly not reprimanding anybody, but we will cover it as it comes in. I know I've gotten a lot of emails about it, and we also think that there's many other things that are equally as important. Right, Mark Riley?
Well, there are a lot of things that are important. American troops are laying siege to an Iraqi city, and we don't know what the consequences are going to be. Big business is lining up at the government trough to reap the bennies of supporting George W. Bush. The Christian conservatives are lining up at the trough to do the same thing that big business is trying to do.
And I believe, I want to put this out there because, I've got my own anger, I've got my own disappointment. I've worked very hard, to mobilize as many people as possible and to put information out there that we believe would support our candidate. And, we did what we could. And in my heart, I don't believe that John Kerry won the popular election. If that turns out to be false and I'm made to eat my words or quit my job or whatever happens, that's fine. But I don't believe that he won the popular election. I believe there were electoral shenanigans. There was some fraud. There was certainly some, racial profiling. And there were some, what do you call it? There were lists. There were caging lists. There were
all kinds of things that have gone on, by the way, throughout the history of this country,
and this
to keep some people from voting.
And this reform is absolutely necessary, and we will be checking in with Congressman Nadler, hopefully on a week-to-week basis, to find out the progress that they're making, and as news breaks about this stuff, we will cover it. I am not going to cover every speculation that, comes off of any blog. I've already received, several emails about numbers that had to be canceled out because they were not factual. I mean, Clutch Larson, our producer, is comes from a history of news production, and we're not here to dispel false information or mislead people just for the sake of entertaining your disappointment or entertaining your anger. I'm not going to do it.
Well, Mark, what doing that has the effect of doing, God, that's a terrible way to put it, is to take people's attention away from the incremental steps the evangelical right is trying to make to change the way Americans are educated, to change a lot about the way we live our lives. There's a trial going on in Georgia, in Cobb County, Georgia, this New Gingrich territory.
This is not some weird flashback. This is 2004.
That's right. This is not the Scopes Monkey trial, but it might as well be.
They're putting stickers, you know, into textbooks that contain material about evolution, which is a scientific fact. Okay, they're putting a sticker in it that says this textbook contains material on evolution. Evolution is a theory, not a fact, regarding the origin of living things. This material should be approached with an open mind, studied carefully, and critically considered, which is a sort of, you know, not so subtle way of saying, you know, look, there are gaps. Look, there's gaps in everything, for God's sakes. But, you know, it's not, you know, God is not in the gaps. I mean, you know, scientific process cannot be negated. And they are fighting to put, you know, the idea of intelligent design, which is another way of saying creationism, as a teachable theory about the beginning of mankind. It's like, how are you going to say that, you know, we've got an entire sort of collection of fossils that will, you know, support the fact of evolution as being a science, and you're going to say, like, no, you don't understand. The man in the sky made all the things.
But you know what?
Where's the fact of that?
No, this isn't about fossils. Let me tell you what I think this is really all about. Okay?
What?
When you talk about the, quote, moral values issue, okay, when you talk about reaching kids with God, all right, and putting that in their heads so that in theory they can resist the temptations of MTV, BET, MOUSE.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they're really trying to do here. What they're trying to do is say to young people that if you accept the idea that there is intelligent design, if you accept the idea that a creator made all of this, if you accept the idea of God in your own life, then you will resist some of these cultural things that so many Americans find either distasteful, scary, or a reason to vote for George W. Bush on.
Well, I personally think that it is infantile, no matter what age you are, to believe that there's a man in the sky that invents things. I mean, and I'm not against spiritual ideas, and I'm not against the ideas of faith and the ideas in belief in humankind's ability to rise above the crap and do good. But it's clear that, you know, many of these evangelicals are distorting the teachings of Christ, are not really, you know, they're taking the ones that they like and they're throwing away the ones that they don't like. Mm-hmm. They're taking certain things in the Bible for truth that shouldn't necessarily be for truth, that actually stop human beings from evolving. That's what they're trying to do. They're trying to stop evolution, you know, on a social and cultural level.
Well, yeah, because what they do, and they did this, again, very skillfully in the election, they cherry-pick what they consider to be a moral or ethical issue. Healthcare is not an issue. Same-sex marriage is an issue.
You mean, you know, taking care of the children's health needs, taking care of the poor, not an issue for Christian people?
No. Not as big an issue as abortion.
Well, that's sort
of bizarre.
Because
abortion is more important. And see, no one questions, or very few people seem to question, who makes these decisions?
Yeah.
Is this guy Dobson and Tony Perkins and all of these, the head of these evangelical right-wing Christian groups, are they the ones that are making this decision for millions of Americans? And if so, who the hell elected them?
They're making it through language. You're taking advantage of mystically retarded people that, you know, believe.
There you go with the R word again, Maren. You know you're going to get, you know, Jonathan, no blogging now for the rest of the morning because you just used the R word.
I haven't even looked at the blog. I'm not looking at the blog anymore.
Good.
But the thing is that, you know, it just seems to me that what they did was take advantage of people that are intentionally delusional. And I'm not saying that all religious people are, but if you're going to overlook the true teachings of Christ in terms of how you treat people and about murder and about war and about, you know, the poor and the underfed, if you're going to take, you know, if you're going to attack liberal programs, you know, as being, you know, anti-Christian, then you're confused and you've been taken advantage of. But, you know, the fact that this trial is going on in this day and age is baffling. And we're going to talk to Michael Tomasky
from the American Prospect, my good buddy, used to be at New York Magazine, a guy who, you know, has been looking at presidential campaigns and the battle over moral values.
But what is this case about? Can we talk about that? We didn't get to it. Can we talk about it when we get back, Riley?
Yeah, sure.
All right. It's 14 past the hour. You're listening to Morning Sedition on Air America Radio.
I try to teach my children what's important in life. So instead of Fruit Loops cereal, I buy Maltomeal Tutti Frutti's cereal. Maltomeal Tutti Frutti's tastes just as good and has all the same vitamins and minerals, plus more vitamin A and calcium. And we get 50% more cereal for about the same price. Lesson?
I know, it's what's inside that counts.
Look for Maltomeal Tutti Frutti's and over 20 other popular flavors, because Maltomeal means more. Part of a balanced breakfast. Claim based on net weight comparison of 22.5 ounces to 15 ounces. Fruit Loops is a registered trademark of Kellogg Company.
For just 45 cents a day, you can have 8 weeks of the Wall Street Journal delivered to your home or office every business day. That's just 45 cents a day for the insights, analysis, and news relevant to the business of your life. Every business day, the Wall Street Journal delivers the top news from every market, industry, and corner of the globe. But because life isn't just business, the Journal's innovative personal journal section translates today's news into the useful information you need to save time and money. From scoring travel discounts to better banking deals, Personal Journal provides practical guidance you can use. Call now and take advantage of the Journal's special introductory offer. Save 55% off the Journal's newsstand price when you order an 8-week subscription for just 45 cents a day. This offer is available for a limited time to new subscribers in the continental U.S. Don't miss out. Call 800-889-1001. That's 800-889-1001 for the Wall Street Journal.
Sudden ups and downs, breathtaking twists and turns. No, it's not a roller coaster, it's the stock market. But Barron's, America's premier financial weekly, can help you make money whichever way the market moves. Now you can get 13 weeks of Barron's plus the valuable guide to building wealth and 4 weeks of Barron's online, all for only $39. This offer is available to new subscribers in the continental U.S. Call now 800-858-5800. That's 800-858-5800 for Barron's.
Here's a free sample of Late Night with Conan O'Brien on Sirius.
So Conan goes, Tiger Woods got married, and among the guests were Oprah Winfrey, Michael Jackson, and Bill Gates. Apparently the three of them chipped in and bought the happy couple Indonesia. He does this thing in the year 2000, even though the year 2000 is fast, but anyway, bandits will attack Queen Elizabeth. To save her life, she'll have to call on the knight sworn to defend her, Elton John, Mick Jagger, and Paul McCartney. I guess you had to be there.
Late Night with Conan O'Brien starts next Monday. Weeknights at 7 Eastern on Sirius CNBC 101.
Hey, sports fans. When you tune into Sirius Sports Radio, you want to hear about football. You want to hear about baseball. You want to hear about sports. And there's something else you should hear about. How to get good tickets for the game. When it comes to tickets for sporting events, you got to check out StubHub.com. Started by two season ticket holders, StubHub.com is the number one site for sports, concerts, and theater tickets nationwide. Since StubHub tickets come directly from season ticket holders, you're getting access to the best seats. We're talking front row, behind home plate, on the 50, you name it. StubHub.com's got it. So, you want tickets for an exciting sporting event or sold-out show? No problem. Just go to StubHub.com, find the seats you want, and your tickets will be delivered fast via FedEx. When you use StubHub.com, you'll always get the tickets you want in time for the game, 100% guaranteed. All right, here's the recap. Can't use your tickets? Sell them on StubHub.com. Want tickets? Go to StubHub.com. That's STU. UBHUB. Visit StubHub.com today or call 1-866-STUBHUB.
StubHub!
How do you teach conversation skills to a toddler? I'm Mark Merrill with today's Family Minute. Start by kneeling down and making eye contact with your young child. Limit the amount of words you use and keep the message simple. Allow your toddler enough time to respond to what you've just said. Keep in mind that during these early years, you're teaching far more than word recognition. You're actually modeling for your toddler proper ways to communicate with future teachers, peers, employers, and perhaps their own family one day. Remember, your family first.
The Family Minute with Mark Merrill is a production of Family First. To find out about ways you can build a stronger family, go to FamilyMinute.net. That's FamilyMinute.net or call 1-800-956-8300. That's 1-800-956-8300.
Want to influence a child's life?
wear your seatbelt. Research shows that when a driver doesn't wear a seatbelt, 70% of the time the children in that car don't either. And an unbuckled child is in danger. Traffic crashes are the leading cause of death for children. Help us stop unbuckled adults from endangering children's lives. There's just too much to lose. This has been a public service announcement brought to you by Buckle Up America.
.ca.
Past the hour, Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley.
Good morning.
You're listening to Morning Sedition. We're talking about a child's right to get a fact-based education in the United States of America. And we'll be back to that in just a second. Right now, I have my dream diary, which I'm bringing to my therapist on Thursday. I'm in a steam room at the country club. A bunch of fat power brokers are sitting around in towels trying to sweat the vodka out of their pores. They're feeling good. One says, "Oh man, Bush's second term is going to be better than a gangbang at the Playboy Mansion." Another says, "Rover's right. God, gays, and guns. Personally, I don't give a God about any of it, but if that's what it takes to get Hicks to the polls and pass the communion wafers." The guy with the red nose says, "Hey, I'd support a druid if it keeps us in the White House." Another sweaty neocon says, "Deregulation, that's my Jesus." That gets a laugh, and then all chime in, "Amen, brother. Oh, lordy, lordy, the rapture's coming. Save me, save me." And they all laughed and belched and farted with joy. I tried to join in and say, hey, Bush is great, isn't he?" They all look at me like I just took a dump on the floor. Sweaty Giles says to me, "Let's be clear about this. Bush is a douchebag, a disaster, a gold-plated train wreck. If he came to me looking for a job, I'd throw his pathetic ass out into the street. The only thing someone that stupid is good for is to be president." Another one says, "Only thing that keeps him from being the biggest screw-up in American history, he does whatever we tell him to, schmuck." Another says, "That a-hole's an incumbent war president, and he almost lost. Unbelievable." Red Nose says, "Those debates made me want to crawl in a hole. He looked like an 8-year-old with gas." Mr. Sweat says, "Where do we get someone who can string three words together? It'll be Reagan Dukakis all over again." Red Nose says, "I say throw the pissed-off Democrats a bone. Get rid of Ashcroft. He gives me the creeps anyway." Jolly says, "Besides, we can have John the Baptist. We can't have John the Baptist attacking the porn industry, can we? What would we do with our leisure time?" They all laughed and belched and farted with joy. I woke up and my bed was filled with Jenna Jameson.
Oh,
that wouldn't be bad.
"What are you doing here?"
"Well, you know, my wife just left last night, so I had to tell Jenna. I said, 'Jenna, I think the timing's a little inappropriate here.'" So I pulled Clutch Larson out of the booth because he likes to talk about evolution, and he made a point over the break to tell me that, you know, evolution has been around long enough as a science that, you know, they've actually seen, you know, evidence of it occurring over generations of living things, I'm assuming. And what you were saying to me before is that the idea, this is an idea of, I guess, of memes in terms of, you know, packets or information, ideas becoming, you know, are also subject to the same rules of adaptation.
Right. Meme is sort of an idea thought of in viral and therefore evolutionary terms.
Right. So the idea of intelligent design is now a dominant idea in this fight against science.
Well, what's happened is that when creationism started to get stifled in the U.S. by government and reality, it basically started to try out different possible adaptations,
right,
looking for the weak links in the laws, things like that. And the quote-unquote thinkers behind this would field test these ideas and see which ones worked and which ones didn't. And intelligent design has been pretty specifically crafted to avoid the legal limits on, circumvent the restrictions.
Saying, like, you know, God designed.
Exactly.
Or,
it could
or
be anyone who was intelligent back right. then.
So wait a minute. Somebody saw a car commercial and decided to appropriate, you know, something they would ordinarily apply to a Mercedes or a Land Rover. Intelligent design.
Yes.
And that now is the mantra of creationism.
Right. And your point is that idea survived after a bunch. So it is really
the adaptation of an idea that supports a specific point of view, which oddly is also determining the survival of this particular group within
right,
the culture.
Right, exactly. It's proof of the validity of how evolution works in terms of a
surprise.
Threatened entity, creationism, faced with extinction, develops various adaptations. One of them, intelligent design, seems to be the one that offers the best hope of survival, mm-hmm. and that's the one that's been nurtured and that has replicated most successfully. So there it is.
So that's what we're up against now in court.
Sounds like the Outer Limits or something. I mean, it sounds like some really Twilight Zone stuff.
Well, it's interesting that this group that was once a marginal group within the culture, and I imagine it still is now dictating the political. The political landscape of our country.
Local school boards, man. Local school boards.
I know, but they were sort of like, talk about,
part of their thing. They have always
struggled, though.
Yeah, but they've always wanted to control the local school board.
Right, and what's going on in Cobb County is they didn't even teach evolution until relatively recently.
Right.
And finally they were forced to teach evolution, and a bunch of...
Why, because it was 2002 or something?
Something along those lines.
No, but there's an important other reason why they ended up having to start doing this, all right? Their kids were not getting into the colleges of their choice.
Right.
That's part of the problem here. You come from a school that teaches creationism as its primary mode of science, you're not getting into Harvard. I'm sorry.
Right. So the fundamentalist parents down there who were looking for that wedge, that in, they said, well, at least put a sticker on the book that says there are alternative theories to evolution.
So you mean these kids on, like, SATs and stuff were answering questions like 2 + 1 = we're all God's children, and they weren't getting into
They weren't getting into the... And Bob Jones University was full.
Right.
So they really had... There were places that they wanted to go. And see, college admissions people are very funny. It's a small world.
Yeah.
When they start saying... It's just like when people objected to, naming their schools after Martin Luther King.
Right.
When they say Martin Luther King High School, they automatically think of black high school. Well, there are certain high schools across the country that if they teach this kind of creationism, the college admissions people know it after a while. After 3 or 4 of their kids go through that college and they start hearing this, then they start looking, wait a minute, isn't that Techwood High School down there in Atlanta? Don't they teach creationism?
Right.
Well, that kid is not going to get in versus somebody else that has a different kind of outlook.
And the bottom line is that evolution is no longer sort of on the outskirts of science. It's the heart and soul of all the life sciences. You need to know that.
Right.
And understand how it works if you want to pursue anything in biology or probably chemistry and other fields as well.
Yes.
So by taking that away, you're denying a child, not only the truth, but a way to assess, almost all of life's processes in a scientific way.
Right, and you're willing to decimate America's hopes for being scientifically, on the vanguard in the future.
So you're intentionally retarding the children in terms of being competitive in the sort of marketplace of science and also the progress that's available through science, i.e. Medications, environmental issues, disease research, all of this stuff.
Well, you have to. You don't want them thinking critically. Then they won't buy the crap that you're selling.
Exactly.
It's all incremental. It's the same thing as the partial birth abortion situation, where you take a little small area of something that you think people will go for.
Right.
Okay? So you don't call it creationism anymore. You call it intelligent design. You don't call it a late-term abortion. You call it a partial birth abortion.
But how do they fight their child's curiosity? I mean, I'm just curious is that if a child is in a classroom and says, it seems like this is not, it can't all be about God. What do they say to that kid? Shut up, you're going to hell?
I talked to my daughter about this. She's 7.5 years old. She gets one thing in school. She gets one thing in church.
Yeah.
And we reconcile it.
How do you do that?
I don't have time to tell you right
now. But we need that time because it's exactly how we're going to get those voters back.
Well, in theory, that's a parent's job.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, well, so apparently,
I went through it. I got taught. I got hit from both sides.
You reconcile.
Really?
My parents just used to say, is there anything I can do for you? And I would say no. They go, okay.
There we go. We got Michael Tomasky coming up after the break, executive editor of the American Prospect. We're going to continue this same discussion. We're going to talk with you on the telephones. And we've got the liberal confessional.
Okay.
All here on Air America Radio.
Cool.
Attention smokers! Find out how to get two free cartons of your preferred brand of cigarettes. That's right, the makers of Smoke Free at 3 are so confident you will finally quit smoking that they'll buy your next two cartons for you if you don't quit. Never again will you have smoke-filled clothes, bad breath, or jeopardize the health of your loved ones. Just listen to these ex-smokers.
I've been smoking a carton of cigarettes per week as long as I can remember. The very first day I started the Smoke Free in 3 system, I quit.
This is Shelly, and my cravings have decreased. I'm calmer, less irritable, and I've been smoke-free for a month now.
This system really surprised me on how effectively and quickly it worked.
Smoke-free in 3 is strong against cravings mentally and physically, so you can stop for good. No stress, no jitters, no anxiety, and no more money wasted on cigarettes.
Call now for your trial of Smoke-free in 3 at 1-800-304-1766. Stop smoking in just days, guaranteed. 800-304-1766. If you don't stop, we'll send you $100 to buy your next two cartons. Call 1-800-304-1766. That's 1-800-304-1766.
You can don't settle for stale talk radio. Get guaranteed freshness with the new Stephanie Miller Show. Irreverent comedy and liberal attitude. All freshness dated for your protection. Get fresh with Stephanie Miller. 9 p.m. Eastern on Sirius Left 143. Right after the Young Turks and before Alan Cole. Sirius Left and Stephanie Miller. The Fresh Makers.
All your important files are on your office PC. What do you do when you want to work from home or access a file while traveling? You copy files to disk, email documents home, or sync up your laptop. What a hassle. Now, there's a perfect solution for working from anywhere at any time. With GoToMyPC.com, you can always have complete access to everything on your office PC from any other internet-connected computer. It's easy to use and highly secure. You simply log into GoToMyPC.com and your office PC appears just as if you were at your desk. Work with all your programs and files, check emails, and access your network. Try GoToMyPC free for 45 days. Visit GoToMyPC.com, click on the radio listener button and enter promo code SIRIUS. GoToMyPC is incredibly easy to use. Setup is completely automatic and it takes less than 2 minutes. That's GoToMyPC.com. Radio listener button, promo code SIRIUS. Try GoToMyPC.com now, free for 45 days.
Hello, everybody. I'm Tony Cantillo, your fresh grocer. Today's tip is going to be about asparagus. Imported asparagus right now coming in from Peru. Now, this asparagus, as a matter of fact, I was kind of surprised. The quality was there. But don't buy the ones that are very thin, the pencil asparagus. Do you know why? Because the asparagus, well, face it, it's grown in Peru, so it's been thousands of miles and many days before it's been picked, so the traveling of that asparagus could start to decay it. And when it's thin, there's not a lot there. So what I like to do is buy the bigger ones. That way, they last longer on that trip. When you buy them, make sure they're green from top to bottom, and the thicker the better for this time of year. Make sure there's no white trunks. Oh, squeeze it. When it's squeaky, that means it is fresh. When you bring them home, simply store them in the refrigerator ASAP and use it up rather quickly, because remember, it's from thousands of miles away. If you want a great recipe with grilled asparagus, log on to TonyCantillo.com. Hello, I'm Tony Cantillo. You know, sometimes information on nutrition and health can seem overwhelming. That's why there's the Dole Nutrition News. Twice a month, this electronic newsletter will bring you the very latest in diet and nutrition research, plus recipes, fitness tips, and natural beauty ideas. Best of all, it's absolutely free. How do you get all this information? Simply just go to www.dolenutrition.com. To sign up, it's free, it's easy, and it's loaded with news that you can use to lose weight and look great. Again, that's www.dolenutrition.com.
I heard about this company dumping toxins in local rivers, and I called their executives to say stop. But I never got through to anyone except secretary after secretary. In the meantime, the rivers are being destroyed, birds and fish are dying, and the local kids are getting sick with cancer. So I organized a huge protest, and we actually got the company shut down. And everyone starts celebrating until we realize that half the town's now unemployed. The welfare offices can barely handle the overload. People are being kicked out of their homes. And to top it all off, the rivers are still contaminated. The birds and fish are still dying. And most of the kids with cancer are twice as sick because they can't get the health care they need since their parents lost the health insurance they had when they worked for the company that dumped all the toxins in the first place.
Saving the world isn't easy, but saving a life is. And just one pint of blood can save up to 3 lives. Visit bloodsaves.com to learn more. This public service announcement was brought to you by the Ad Council.
big work. 34 past the hour, Mark Maron here with Mark Riley.
Good morning.
Discussing all that we have to discuss here. A lot of stuff going on. Right now, it's time to take a look at the Presidential Daily Briefing, how you classify a top-secret document that crosses George W. Bush's desk every morning. Today's PDB from the intelligence community is entitled, "We're in an imminent danger of having a party." Mr. President, it's come to our attention that the election is over. Congratulations are in order, and we look forward to toasting you with a Sprite at the inaugural. But in the meantime, we don't really know what to do. Scaring the electorate was pretty much our prime directive, and to borrow a phrase, mission accomplished. Since there's no reason to scare everyone right now, at least not until the draft is up and running, we were thinking about taking some personal time. The nice folks at Halliburton have offered us to, the use of their island for the month of January, so we thought we'd head on down there and get into Jimmy Buffett mode. Of course, we will still carefully monitor your support among the various elements of your base, your approval numbers, and anything that falls into the category Homeland Security. You know, as Jerry was saying the other day, those terrorists out there could actually be planning something. They're real, you know. You might want to think about setting up an office to deal with that kind of stuff. We'll kick around some ideas about that when we're not boogie boarding. Nice work, Chief. See you in February. Respectfully, Office of Homeland Security. Now joining us is the executive editor of the American Prospect. We're going to talk a little bit more about the evangelical impact on the vote and the liberal dilemma of how to deal with this impact. Michael Tomasky is with us. Good morning, Michael.
Morning.
Hey, Michael, how you doing, man? Long time.
How you been?
All right.
Yeah, good.
So what did we learn? What did we learn as Democrats and liberals from this debacle?
Well, I mean, you know, there are a million ways to slice this thing, but one thing that I do think is true is that, you know, it was that there is a problem that the Democrats have in talking to, you know, quote-unquote regular Americans. And one thing that I wrote, what I wrote yesterday on our website, is that it's important to keep the distinction between people on the religious right who are totally against, you know, not only liberalism but modernity and would never vote for a Democrat in a million years on the one hand, and then on the other hand, people who aren't on the religious right who still are, though, personally religious. And I think, you know, it's okay to try and talk to those people, which I don't think the Democrats do a very good job of.
So you're saying that there are people who are Christian in principle and Christian by religious faith, but not opposed to progress.
Yeah, I think there are a lot of those kind of people.
Yeah, I agree with you. We talk to them a lot on the phone. I think it's a tremendous mistake for liberals and Democrats to characterize the South as being a bunch of, you know, Jesus-free crackers. It's wrong.
Yeah, not just the South, but, you know, all over the country. And I think that I just think it's important as we go forward to try and keep that distinction paramount in our minds, that there's the religious right on the one hand who it's not worth talking to, but on the other hand, there's regular religious people who are in the center who it is worth talking to, and getting back some of those votes is pretty important, I think.
Michael, how do you approach those folks? How do you engage them in dialogue and get them to believe that you respect their faith?
Yeah, it's hard. It's something that Democrats are going to have to spend 4 years figuring out. But they got to start figuring it out now. I mean, one thing you do is that you go out and talk to people, and you know, you don't poll them, you don't focus group them. You go out and have a dialogue with them and ask them, you know, in what ways are you religious? In what ways are you a political person? And how do you square those two? And, you know, how do you think about abortion? And how do you think about charity and helping people in poverty? You know, all the questions, all the aspects of a person's life that their religion should inform, just go start talk to them about it. That's a good way to start.
How do you explain that this devolving of modernity or the believing in, you know, that type of progress? You know, what happened?
Well, they politicized themselves. They organized themselves. They put money behind themselves. And they said, you know, these are people who have been angry at the United States in one way or another since the Scopes trial.
Right.
And,
okay.
Yeah, and they got themselves organized, and they said, we're going to put a stop to this, and we're going to fight the fact that there's no prayer in schools. We're going to fight that there's no. I mean, I've read a couple stories now that they're in Wisconsin. They're planning on trying to introduce evolution into the school curriculum. I mean, this stuff is going to happen all over the place. They really do They really, really do. The hard right, the hard religious right I'm talking about, want to take us back at least to the 1920s and probably to the 1880s or 1890s.
But so you're admitting on some level that there is a chunk of this group. There are some people that are so extreme in their religious views that they can be clinically called delusional and inaccessible to what you're talking about.
Certainly delusional and inaccessible and un-American. They don't understand what this republic is about. They want a Christian nation. They don't understand what secularism is about, that our secular system of government has actually permitted religion to flourish. And they never stop and think about this, you know, that more people go to church in this country, in part because there is no state religion. There are state religions in France and people don't go to church, you know. I could go on and on with examples along those lines, but you know, our secular system of government has permitted religion to flourish, and this is exactly what Jefferson had in mind if you go back and read the stuff. So, yeah, they're inaccessible and they're un-American, but I'd rather focus on the other group, you know, who are people who don't want a Christian nation, and, you know, whatever feelings they might have about gay marriage, they're not, you know, out-and-out homophobes. But that's a group that I think, you know, the Democratic Party needs to think about trying to figure out how to reach before the next election.
Michael, how do you disentangle something that's been pounded into the heads of a lot of the latter group that you just described, who are, in some instances, very fearful of the kinds of culture that their children, for example, are consuming? How do you disentangle what they may see as moral excess from the Democratic Party, which the Republicans have been very skillful in melding together? The whole notion of a liberal elite, a Hollywood elite, that is almost invariably Democratic. How do you disavow people of that notion?
Yeah, that's the question, and I don't really have the answer this morning, the simple answer. But you know, I mean, I think the Democrats just need to start by making a good faith effort to figure out what it is that's important to these people. And, you know, and then have an internal discussion about specifically how they talk about abortion rights and how they talk about gay rights to the public. And, you know, this is going to be a sort of painful process in the Democratic Party that I think a lot of people are going to resist. It's a conversation that a lot of people don't want to have. But, you know, I think there's a way to present those two issues in particular for public consumption that the Democrats haven't given enough thought to. I mean, I know, for example, that you know, in with respect to these 11 gay marriage referenda, anti-gay marriage referenda, that the general attitude of the Democratic Party was, you know, that, well, if we don't talk about it, it'll just go away and we won't have to worry about it. Now, you know, I admit that the evidence is mixed on how much those things actually pulled turnout, but I do think they pulled turnout some, and particularly in Ohio is where it mattered. I think they pulled turnout to some extent. But this idea that it was just going to go away if they didn't talk about it is just denial that you know, Democrats can't afford.
Michael, I'm curious about something that we saw in this election, and we've seen in previous elections and previous issues as well. There is a racial divide in this country that, for example, would have a fairly substantial number of people in the black community opposed to gay marriage, but they still voted in overwhelming numbers for Kerry. Why do you think it is that that whites did not do the same thing?
Well, there's still, you know, among African Americans, there's still the loyalty to the Democratic Party that goes back to the party's leadership on civil rights. That's probably decreasing with each successive generation. So that'll be something that Democrats need to worry about. But, you know, I mean, I think that at least for another generation, that loyalty will be in place among black voters. Now, you know, among white voters, that's just not there. So.
But why would gay marriage be a deal breaker among white voters and not a deal breaker among black voters who feel the same way?
Well, because I think black voters still see that the Republican Party is kind of fundamentally against them, and I think they're right to see that. and
as evidenced by their standing there saying you can't vote.
Yeah, that would be one example.
All right, Michael, thank you so much for joining us. Great talking to you.
Thanks, good to talk to you.
All right, man, take care, Michael.
Yeah, you too, Mark.
Bye-bye.
Michael Tomasky, 866-303-2270 is our number. We've got a few minutes after the break here to take some calls, so we're looking forward to hearing from you. 44 past the hour on Mornings Edition, Air America Radio. Want to add your 2 cents? Give us a call at 866-303-2270 and give us your best shot.
Lose 30 pounds in 30 days? Or how about eat whatever you want and still lose weight? Look, you and I both know that is not going to happen. I'm Dr. Greg Cinnamone, and I'd probably be the first to sign up for that magic pill that makes diet and exercise irrelevant. But until that day, I'm content to be one of 100,000-plus folks who haven't just ordered Cortislim once. They've ordered Cortislim again. So many people have found that Cortislim is part of an absolutely brilliant lifestyle of managing daily stress. Why? Because stress leads to problems, like gaining weight. We believe that good health involves diet, exercise, supplementation, and Cortislim. And I want you to have Dr. Talbot's Total Sense program free with your order. Look, the holidays are here, and stress and overeating is a problem. This is your chance to step off that scale and into the Cortislim lifestyle. Call 1-800-921-BURN. 800-921-BURN. 800-921-BURN.
Angry about 4 more years of lies and cover-ups? Go to www.readmojo.com and subscribe to Mother Jones Magazine, your antidote to corporate and government deception. At readmojo.com, you can get Mother Jones for just $10 a year, over 70% off the newsstand price. This month, read our investigation into how Bush has hurt the military by privatizing 20,000 armed services jobs. Visit readmojo.com today and pick up Mother Jones, your source for no-holds-barred investigative journalism.
Wouldn't it be great if some things were more convenient, like income tax preparation?
Please select the second window for your refund.
Unfortunately, not everything can be convenient, but Radio Shack is. With over 7,000 stores, there's probably one in your neighborhood where you'll find the helpful service you want, plus the latest electronics, accessories, wireless phones, and gift ideas. So even though we'd all like a little more convenience...
Yeah, I'm here to take your driver's license photo.
It's nice to know Radio Shack really offers it. Radio Shack, you've got questions, we've got answers.
With a global team of 4,000 news-gathering professionals, CNN is the world leader in news and information. And now, on Sirius, join Paula Zahn, Anderson Cooper, Larry King, Lou Dobbs, Aaron Brown, and a host of other top news anchors and pros. Get inside the top stories and events of the day, plus business, sports, health, and entertainment. It's your news, your way. 24 hours a day. Sirius, CNN 104.
Hey, sports fans, when you tune into Sirius Sports Radio, you want to hear about football, you want to hear about baseball, you want to hear about sports. And there's something else you should hear about, how to get good tickets for the game. When it comes to tickets for sporting events, you got to check out StubHub.com. Started by 2-season ticket holders, StubHub.com is the number one site for sports, concerts, and theater tickets nationwide. Since StubHub tickets come directly from season ticket holders, you're getting access to the best seats. We're talking front row, behind home plate, on the 50, you name it, StubHub.com. Got it. So, you want tickets for an exciting sporting event or sold-out show? No problem. Just go to StubHub.com, find the seats you want, and your tickets will be delivered fast via FedEx. When you use StubHub.com, you'll always get the tickets you want in time for the game, 100% guaranteed. All right, here's the recap. Can't use your tickets? Sell them on StubHub.com. Want tickets? Go to StubHub.com. That's S-T-U-B-H-U-B. Visit StubHub.com today or call 1-866-STUBHUB.
StubHub!
Are you significant? I'm Mark Merrill with today's Family Minute. The dictionary defines significant as someone who is noteworthy, valuable, or important. In our culture, we determine our significance by what we have, what we do for a living, and by comparing ourselves to others. But none of these are really good definitions. We should not look at outward signs and appearances to determine our significance. Instead, we should look at our hearts. An ancient proverb says, as a person thinks in his heart, so is he. Remember, your family first.
The Family Minute with Mark Merrill is a production of Family First. To find some great resources for strengthening your family, go to FamilyMinute.net. That's FamilyMinute.net. Or call 1-800-956-8300. That's 1-800-956-8300.
We're all hearing a lot about youth violence these days, but you know what? Crime and violence among teens is actually going down. The secret to keeping it down is to help our kids learn about things like self-respect and empathy and how to solve conflicts without resorting to violence. Teach your children how to steer clear of violence. Who knows? You might just save a life. A message from Big Brothers Big Sisters of America, the Boys and Girls Clubs of America, and the Center for the Prevention of School Violence.
The hour, Mark Maron. That's Mark Ryo. You're listening to Morning Sedition.
Yes, you are.
On Air America Radio in the United States of America, where we are broadcasting from.
Yes, we are.
Yes. You know where. The bunker. Elevated bunker.
That's
which
right.
is odd.
Top floor bunker.
Mm-hmm. Remember, stop looking at the electoral map. There are plenty of good people in all the red states. Stop it. Stop
right.
it. We got to come together here. Sometimes, you know, Mark Riley, it's not easy being a liberal, and we all stray from the straight and narrow. From time to time, so when I need to unburden myself, I step into the Morning Sedition Confessional. Bless me, Brother Riley, for I have sinned.
How can I ease your burden, my son?
Well, I have a shocking theory about how Bush pulled off his re-election, Mark.
What is it?
Well, I think, man, I can't believe I'm saying this. I think he got more votes than John Kerry.
Sounds reasonable to me.
No, exactly. I'm being reasonable. I feel awful about it. I'm not staying up nights in a frenzied, agitated state watching nefarious government scenarios unravel through my conspiratorial maze in my head. I mean, it's not like me at all, Riley. I mean, usually I'm brimming with conspiracy theories. I mean, to this day, I still obsess over the death of JFK, man.
My son, many people feel that way about President Kennedy.
Yeah, but I'm talking about JFK Jr., dude. And I mean, and I petitioned Congress to open an investigation into the death of River Phoenix. I mean, I'm out there sometimes. I went to Area 51 for my honeymoon. I mean, I've always loved conspiracies, but now I'm afraid that the Bush re-election has beaten all the fight out of me, dude.
Mark, my friend, there is no need to despair. You are merely being reasonable and mature. And while that might not quite have the caffeinated kick of delusional paranoia, it will ultimately prove to be more productive.
Wait, you think that I'm better off not looking for conspiracies, like, under every rock? Is that what you're saying, Mark?
That's exactly what I'm saying.
Oh, all right. So they've gotten you, haven't they?
Who?
You know who. You know who, man. The people have united to bring Air America down. Karl Rove, John Ashcroft, Michael Powell, Ron Silver. They're all part of the same insidious plot, buddy. And now you're part of it, too, aren't you? Aren't you, Riley?
Mark, I'm delighted to say that you've gotten your paranoid groove back. Now go forth and sin no more.
Amen. I'm not listening to you. You're one of them. Pete in New Jersey, what's on your mind, brother?
Hi,
hey,
guys.
Pete.
Hi. I'm first-time caller, and I really enjoyed the show.
Thank you.
I've been listening a short period of time. I heard your last caller talking about the religious vote in the South.
Yes.
And you could see on the electoral map that we do lose the South ever since Nixon.
Right.
So I was saying there's about four reasons that come to mind, and we have to work all of them. Number one, I travel down there a lot. They think Democrats are weak on defense. Doesn't matter what a Democrat spends on defense, they're weak on defense.
Mm-hmm.
National defense.
Isn't that weird, even though we went into Iraq with Clinton's army? Isn't it peculiar?
And we went into the first Gulf War with Jimmy Carter's weapon system. I know that, but that's a marketing thing we have to get over.
Okay.
The other thing is, they think we're going to take their guns away from them.
Okay.
I mean, all of their guns, we're going to lock them up right away.
Right.
And so
that's
the third
what they
thing
think.
Is, there is still the underlying racial issue. Ever since we sent troops in to enforce desegregation, there's a lot of white people down there that they can not say it out loud, but that's how they vote. They vote against the party that would come in and do that.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know how you get around that, but that's a thing. And then, of course, you have the religious group that's very vocal and quite mobile. Maybe they're not as strong as everybody thinks in number, but they are quite active, aren't they? So you put those four together, you're going to have a hard time getting those red states ever.
That's interesting, Pete. Let me ask you a question. You travel a lot down there.
Yeah.
Now, you know, I'm looking at, you know, percentages here, and there's some pretty surprising numbers that are Democrat, that voted for Kerry in this election. Do you find yourself talking to people that are reasonable and good people down there?
Yes, absolutely. And that group is a group that a lot of times are in the blue-collar world. I happen to deal with a lot of labor unions down there, and the ones that exist in certain states, and those folks are blue collar, and they also though still have some of these perceptions about you know, taking the guns away. But there are a lot of people down there. I mean, if you look at the vote, I mean, yeah, maybe 1.9 million people voted for Bush in Georgia, but maybe 1.2 million voted for Kerry.
Right.
I mean, it's not completely hopeless.
Right.
But I think we have to get over these issues of national defense. It's a big thing. They'll say, oh, you're one of those New York liberals to me, and you guys really are going to kill the defense budget. Then I tell them, we spent almost the same amount as the Republicans. Look at the Congressional Budget Office records. But we don't get that out there every day, all day, for the next 4 years. We don't have that out there.
Right, and also,
campaign.
It also, it has to do with, you know, the delivery system as well, you know, in terms of, like, you know, they have to believe somebody, and they slandered Kerry to the point where I guess these guys, you know, they were able to spin that defense thing against him. This is a decorated war hero.
Oh, yeah, and remember, too, that the military closed down base after base after base all over this country during whose term? The term of Bush 1.
Right.
So,
I don't even, but see, these are people that will not listen to facts. Let's take Issa in New Jersey. How are you, Issa?
Hi, guys.
Hi, how are you doing?
Okay, two things. First of all, in the last discussion, I think that there was a presupposition that Bush won the election.
I think he might have.
I don't think he did. You know, I mean, with all this voter fraud and stuff that's coming out. So I think if you start with the premise that either he did or that it was very close.
Okay, very close. I'll go with that.
I think that the Democrats are giving a double message. If you say that the government is secular, which it is, and then you start appealing to people of faith, I think we're playing the right-wing Christian Bush game. I think that maybe the strategy should be the secular strategy. That we, you know, everybody respects people's personal opinions about things, but the government is the government, and there are issues that we have to deal with, and the law is the law. And I think that maybe that's what would appeal to the religious people who understand that the government should be secular.
That's an interesting point, you know, and I agree with you, and thanks for your call. I think, unfortunately, when you have religious extremists that who are unwilling to embrace other religions at the behest of their own, I guess is what I'm saying, mm-hmm. is that, you know, that's very different than these are not people that want other religions to exist. These are people that believe they have a sort of manifest destiny to make the world Christian, and that their arch enemy in this struggle are anyone who isn't Christian, and especially Muslims.
They figure they've got the answer.
So it's like, it's not even a conversation with this specific type of Christian, that they do not welcome other religions. They do not think there is room for more than one religion. They have an almost totalitarian, you know, manifest destiny picture of what the world should look like. It should be all Christian. It should be all the Christians. Not any Christians, but their kinds of Christians. So I think that, you know, what you're saying is great, and I think that, you know, secularism is where it's at, and that's the way this country was supposed to be, but we're sort of engaged in a discussion with people that don't see it that way at all.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what do you do about those people? The only thing you can do is hopefully, you know, force democracy to engage them in, and outnumber them in the way that it's supposed to.
Well, Michael Tomasky made an important point when he said that this secular government had created the context by which all this religion was taking place anyway.
Uh-huh. Yeah, absolutely. Let's take a quick call. Somebody says he might know you.
Oh.
Bob in Pennsylvania. Bob.
Hey, Bob.
Hello, Mark. Hello, Mark.
Hey, what's
How
going
you
on?
Doing?
Hey, Mark Riley and I had the same biology teacher.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I know. I know exactly who you're talking about.
Yeah, Mr. Swigert, he was.
Yeah.
He was a Christian. But, I mean, he admitted it. He was of that persuasion. But he taught fairly, and he did bring evolution into the theory, but, I mean, into the discussion. But what he told us, and I don't think much has changed since then, is that it is a theory, Mark. It's not established yet simply because scientifically the evidence isn't adequate to hold up altogether. There are some fossils, but there aren't enough. There aren't enough that would show it as a random event. So I'm definitely with the people that see a creative force behind it in the same way that, let's say that you could say,
okay.
let me put it.
Well, we got to go, Bob.
Yeah,
I'm sorry
we
to cut
go.
You off. But,
yeah, but please call back, Bob, because I want to have that
evolutionary
discussion.
Evolutionary is a scientific, you know, fact. Evolutionary, there are, you know, gaps in theories, but, you know, it's established.
But we could argue all day about that. Coming up in the next hour of
Not
Mornings
really.
Edition, Mark Bowden. The guy who wrote Black Hawk Down is going to be here to talk about his new book, Road Work, Among Tyrants, Heroes, Rogues, and Beasts. We've got a rock birth of a nation. We got
my dad can throw a baseball 100 million feet.
Yeah, well, my dad can throw a football 1,000 bazillion feet. That's twice as far.
So, my dad can hold his breath underwater for 5 minutes.
That's nothing. My dad can make a 360 two-handed backward slam dunk with his eyes closed.
Yeah. Well, my dad, he can make quarters come out of his nose. A whole
big deal. My dad can eat a whole jalapeno pepper in one bite.
Get out.
Yep, that's impossible. He'd explode. Boom!
Kids who spend time with their fathers are less likely to get in trouble or fail in school. Be there for your kids. Give them someone to brag about. Remember, it takes a man to be a dad.
My dad can smash a soda can with his head.
No way.
Uh-huh. I saw him do it.
Cool.
Then we took him to the hospital.
Call 1-800-790-DADS for more information. A public service message from the National Fatherhood Initiative and the Ad Council.
Compromise off. Serious on. Uncompromised music and entertainment.
Uncompromised music and entertainment.
Serious. Serious. It's on.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. All eyes are focused on Fallujah as the American-led offensive to eliminate the insurgents escalates. Over 6,000 U.S. Marines and 2,000 Iraqi soldiers have been engaged in the attack that U.S. Senator Hillary Rodham Clinton of New York said yesterday was essential to bringing about a stable environment in the country in preparation for the January elections. Iraqi Prime Minister Ayad Alawi had warned for weeks that such an assault was pending if the insurgents refused to accede to the demands to drop their arms and give up terrorist mastermind al-Zarqawi. Still no word on just where the leadership of the Iraqi insurgents may be, but Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld said yesterday that's not the focus right now.
We cannot allow there to be safe havens for people who are determined to kill innocent Iraqis and to bring down the government and to try to intimidate public officials and police chiefs and ministers and deputy ministers. You can't allow that in a country.
Rumsfeld also said he was concerned about the impact of Iraqis seeing an untold number of their nationals dead.
Over time, you'll find that the process of tipping will take place, that more and more of the Iraqis will be angry about the fact that their innocent people are being killed by the extremists, a number of them from outside the country, and they won't like it, and that they'll want elections.
Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld yesterday, the death toll from the war in Iraq has now exceeded well over 11,000. Many of the wounded, 1,100 that is, many of the wounded have been receiving treatment here in the States at Washington's Walter Reed Army Hospital. President Bush and the First Lady are expected to pay a visit to some of the wounded today, where he 9 months ago handed out Purple Hearts to some of the soldiers. Bush is visiting the facility as the campaign to end the violence in Fallujah is well underway. More than 3 years after the 9/11, Congress hasn't decided yet how it would handle a disaster that kills many of its members. Nonpartisan commission recommends amending the Constitution to allow for temporary appointments. Right now, House vacancies can only be filled by direct election. Critics say that could paralyze Congress for weeks or months during a national crisis. House has passed legislation requiring special elections within 45 days of confirming that 100 or more members have been killed. Senate panel has approved letting states choose how to fill the vacancies. Members are also debating presidential succession. An ailing Palestinian leader, Yasser Arafat's condition worsened overnight, according to hospital officials in France today. Coma he has been in for almost a week has deepened. General Christian Estrapo, a spokesman for the Percy, military training hospital outside Paris, said the deterioration of the leader's condition marks a significant stage for the worse. You're listening to Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman.
With a global team of 4,000 news-gathering professionals, CNN is the world leader in news and information. And now, on Sirius, join Paula Zahn, Anderson Cooper, Larry King, Lou Dobbs, Aaron Brown, and a host of other top news anchors and pros. Get inside the top stories and events of the day, plus business, sports, health, and entertainment. It's your news, your way. 24 hours a day. Sirius, CNN 104.
All your important files are on your office PC. What do you do when you want to work from home or access a file while traveling? You copy files to disk, email documents home, or sync up your laptop. What a hassle. Now, there's a perfect solution for working from anywhere at any time. With GoToMyPC.com, you can always have complete access to everything on your office PC from any other internet-connected computer. It's easy to use and highly secure. You simply log into GoToMyPC.com and your office PC appears just as if you were at your desk. Work with all your programs and files, check emails, and access your network. Try GoToMyPC free for 45 days. Visit GoToMyPC.com, click on the radio listener button and enter promo code SERIOUS. GoToMyPC is incredibly easy to use. Setup is completely automatic and takes less than 2 minutes. That's GoToMyPC.com. Radio listener button, promo code SERIOUS. Try GoToMyPC.com now, free for 45 days.
Hello, everybody. I'm Tony Tantillo, your fresh grocer. And today's tip of the day is going to be with peeled garlic in a jar. It's already peeled, so yeah, instead of buying the clove is already peeled in the side of that jar. It's very easy. But let me tell you something. You still have to take care of them and select them and store them properly. Or otherwise, when you're going to open that jar after a while, they're going to smell like a pickle. It's not going to smell any good. So let's talk about when you go buy them. Check the expiration date. You want to make sure you buy them a couple weeks before that expiration date expires. Then look at that garlic in that jar and make sure it's got a nice color to it. If they all look yellow, they've been stored around for too long, and you're going to be surprised when you open up that jar. When you bring them home, what you want to do when you go to use that garlic, it's important to break it down a little bit. That way you release the odors and the flavor that the garlic has. Just smash it, then cut up and cook with it. And make sure when you put it away, seal it tight. I'm Tony Tantillo. For great recipes, go to TonyTantillo.com. Hello, I'm Tony Tantillo. You know, sometimes information on nutrition and health can seem overwhelming. That's why there's the Dole Nutrition News. Twice a month, this electronic newsletter will bring you the very latest in diet and nutrition research, plus recipes, fitness tips, and natural beauty ideas. Best of all, it's absolutely free. How do you get all this information? Simply just go to www.dolenutrition.com. To sign up, it's free, it's easy, and it's loaded with news that you can use to lose weight and look great. Again, that's www.dolenutrition.com.
I'm Mark Maron. It's 6 past the hour here on Air America Radio, and this is Morning Sedition.
Good morning, geniuses, philosopher kings and queens, seething liberals who are as narrow-minded as Republicans. Good morning to you. Always nice to have you on board as well. I just want to throw a few things out there. You know, we've gotten a lot of emails, both good and bad emails. I want to remind people that just because we don't obsessively talk about the possibility of electoral fraud does not mean we don't report on it. We had Congressman Gerald Nadler on yesterday about his appeal with other congressmen to the General Accountability Office.
Yes,
in relation to the possibilities of electoral fraud and voter shenanigans. We are reporting whatever comes down the pike as being worthy of reporting. That means, you know, grounded in some sort of truth and not speculation, because my producer, Clutch Larson, is a sort of a stickler for putting stuff out there that is grounded in some sort of truth.
Yes, he is.
You know, also, we are, you know, encouraging people to go to blackboxvoting.org and give money. We are just not going to do it obsessively. We are not going to entertain your anger. We are not going to be your anger puppets on this show, because we feel there is other things to cover. We still believe that there is a war going on in Iraq and there are American soldiers dying, and that is not getting any better. We believe that there is still an economy that needs to be addressed. We believe that there is still issues of what the right is calling moral values that is a misrepresentation of morality. We also believe that, you know, you should stop looking at the electoral map. It's not just primary colors, folks. That is not the way America looks. You know, if you look at the electoral map and start talking about red and blue states, you know, if you live in a blue state, you might as well devolve and crawl back into the ocean and hope that you meet up with some other Democrats, liberals, and progressives in Atlantis, where we can build our Xanadu.
There you go.
I just want to say that red states, you know, in terms of voting against George Bush, Georgia, 41%.
Colorado 47% against Bush. Colorado, I believe, also changed over their House. Their state legislature was Republican and is now Democrat. Is that true?
Brandon? They elected a Democrat to the United States Senate, Salazar.
Yeah, I know that, but I know that three houses, I'd like to get that information on the break as to which
three
houses.
Three state legislatures.
Yes, which is very great. Kentucky, 40% voted against Bush. Arizona, 44% voted against Bush. Arkansas, 45% voted against Bush. Missouri, 46%. Nevada, 48%. Virginia, 45% against Bush. West Virginia, 43% against Bush. North Carolina, 44% against Bush. South Carolina, 41% against Bush. Tennessee, Mississippi, Louisiana, 43, 41, and 42%. Florida, 47%, but that number is still in question for some of you. And Texas, 38% against Bush. But what I'm saying is, instead of drawing lines and creating some sort of secessionist paranoia and sparking some ideological civil war, realize that this country is, still fairly diverse, and plenty of people are right on the fence about, who they voted for, and that, we cannot draw these lines based on these color distinctions of the electoral map. All right, we have to reach out to everybody that really needs to happen. I want to read an email, too, before we get into some of the news from Fallujah. I'll read two emails, because I think we got to say goodbye to somebody, but that's in a second. Mark, I didn't need any proof that Air America's great new is a great new reality in our political life. The only loser there is NPR, who my wife and I still support but don't listen to a whole lot anymore. However, the passionate disagreement between Air America hosts as to how hard to pursue black box issues, I think, reflects a very healthy debate among all of us who are all committed to progressive change in this country. I see both sides of the argument, focusing on election fraud and finding out what Rove and his legions may have done. I know they pulled some... Yeah, hold on. They pulled some yes. Because they always do. They can't help it, and truth will come out. But my point here is that it's great that Randy, Malloy, and Laura are insane over it, and you guys are reminding us that so much more is going on, and we need to focus on that that the red state people are Americans, too, and they come out to vote in a big way. We all care so much about this. We love our country, and you guys are all so needed that I hope you can all truly respect each other. I listen to all the shows all day, at home and at work, and power to you all. We will take this country back. Meanwhile, thank you all so much also for talking about the troops. God help them all. Thank you for supporting Op Truth and www.anysoldier.com. That's from Dave in Brooklyn.
Thank you, Dave.
Dave.
We appreciate it. Finally, somebody that, kind of like sees that, we don't have to be a monolith here.
Not only a monolith, but, it's like, if you really, you want to think about the difference between entertainment, placating, people's, contempt and anger, what it really means to change things. It's like everyone does it in their own way. We're just, we are the morning show. We are breaking news for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. We are sort of, assessing what's going on around the world on a day-to-day basis. We can't afford to be obsessed with and single-notedly, dealing with, one topic, ad infinitum without, journalistic credibility on some of the evidence that's coming out. I mean, it's just a matter of choosing to appeal to the broader base of what, needs to change in the Democratic Party. And if you're out there thinking that the only issue is computer fraud or electoral fraud, I will argue with you. I'm not saying that there wasn't any electoral fraud. I'm not saying that there weren't tactics that were used that were strategically, criminal. But I am not so sure that I'll say it. I believe that George Bush won the popular vote. And if you think that I'm wrong, instead of yelling at me or sending me crappy emails because you're pissed off, where's Senator John Kerry? Why hasn't he come out and reassess what was going on? If there is such evidence, he is, a representative in the Senate who ran for president. Why isn't he coming out and saying anything? You got to assume that there were hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars behind that man to make this thing happen. That's a lot of investment. Why aren't they telling him to go out here and, own up to something if it really exists? Write your senator. Write John Kerry. And you want to talk about anger. Where is he representing your anger? Now, here's an email I want to read. What a huge disappointment you guys are. If you ignore the election fraud of 2004, then we might as well talk about sports or weather. Beating up John Kerry or second-guessing the Bible Belt is totally irrelevant. Is it really, if we can't get the votes counted? I'm going to listen one more time. Here's the ultimatum. I can't stand the arrogance of some liberals to think that, they can bully me. You know, I mean, screw you. You know what I mean? Here's what. I'm going to listen one more time. Tuesday, November 9th. This is our deadline day, Riley.
Oh, that's it for
are
us,
you shaking?
Huh?
Yeah.
Whoa.
If I hear you minimize or ridicule those who are working hard to get this election fraud uncovered, then I'm switching to my old jazz station. He's going to get right up off of the cause and listen to some...
And that's Brubeck.
Yeah, our version of it. But that's a lot more taking action. But it's much better to go listen to your old jazz station than to hear what's going on in Iraq, than to hear what's going on as far as the argument over creationism in America in 2004, than to hear how many people there are who are still, you know, wanting to, you know, engage in broadening and focusing the core of the Democratic Party. Go listen to jazz, you coward.
Hey, but you know what? If he listens to jazz and it causes him to do something other than emailing us, then fine. But you know what? It's not going to happen.
He is
not going to listen to any... If he drew inspiration from the music he says he's listening to, that'd be one thing. But you know better than that.
Look, dude, you know, I mean, if you're not willing to, you know, to face the reality... is that, you know, the Democratic Party and the progressive movement have been getting beaten up now for decades, all right? And because we are a movement with no discernible direction and no clear leadership, you know, and if you're willing, you know, if you want to disregard that, then, you know, you're guilty of as much denial as the Christian right.
As James Carville said, the purpose of a political party is to win elections. We didn't win.
We've got to talk about Fallujah, but apparently we're going to do it with our guest, who is coming up in the next segment. This is a guy who wrote,
I'm becoming Mr. Geek in here.
That's all right, buddy. If you hear that sound, it's not your radio.
No.
You know, it's just a bonk on the mic.
Right.
So listen, Mark Bowden, he wrote Black Hawk Down. He's got a new book coming out. It is out. It's called Roadwork. It's a collection of a bunch of different pieces from the last 25 years, including a profile of Saddam Hussein. He's very informed about what we need to talk about in terms of, the guerrilla war and the quagmire in Iraq. And
yes,
we're going to do that after this. It's 15 past the hour. You're listening to Air America Radio.
I try to teach my children what's important in life. So instead of Fruit Loops cereal, I buy Maltomeal Tutti Frutti cereal. Maltomeal Tutti Frutti's tastes just as good and has all the same vitamins and minerals, plus more vitamin A and calcium. And we get 50% more cereal for about the same price. Lesson?
I know, it's what's inside that counts.
Look for Maltomeal Tutti Frutti's and over 20 other popular flavors, because Maltomeal means more. Part of a balanced breakfast. Claim based on net weight comparison of 22.5 ounces to 15 ounces. Fruit Loops is a registered trademark of Kellogg Company.
Every day, Americans play a game. The stakes are very high.
Now step into the plate. The Smith family going for a home loan. The loan officer's checking their credit report. This one's going to be...
Wouldn't you like to know what's in your credit report before you apply for credit? Now you can. Log on to freecreditreport.com and find out how to get your credit report instantly and online for free.
It's a home run!
Log on to freecreditreport.com and win the biggest game of your life. freecreditreport.com.
To the discriminating driver, a luxurious driving experience isn't an option as much as a requirement. That's why Goodyear developed the new Assurance, featuring Comfort Tread technology. Not only does this tire offer a distinct upscale appearance, it delivers a smooth, quiet, comfortable ride. Assurance, featuring Comfort Tread technology. It's the ultimate accessory for your luxury vehicle. For complete details and the retailer nearest you, call 1-800-GOODYEAR.
Sudden ups and downs, breathtaking twists and turns. No, it's not a roller coaster, it's the stock market. But Barron's, America's premier financial weekly, can help you make money whichever way the market moves. Now you can get 13 weeks of Barron's plus the valuable guide to building wealth and 4 weeks of Barron's online, all for only $39. This offer is available to new subscribers in the continental U.S. Call now, 800-858-5800. That's 800-858-5800 for Barron's.
With a global team of 4,000 news-gathering professionals, CNN is the world leader in news and information. And now, on Sirius, join Paula Zahn, Anderson Cooper, Larry King, Lou Dobbs, Aaron Brown, and a host of other top news anchors and pros. Get inside the top stories and events of the day, plus business, sports, health, and entertainment. It's your news, your way. 24 hours a day. Sirius, CNN 104.
Hey, sports fans, when you tune into Sirius Sports Radio, you want to hear about football. You want to hear about baseball. You want to hear about sports. And there's something else you should hear about, how to get good tickets for the game. When it comes to tickets for sporting events, you've got to check out StubHub.com. Started by two season ticket holders, StubHub.com is the number one site for sports, concerts, and theater tickets nationwide. Since StubHub tickets come directly from season ticket holders, you're getting access to the best seats. We're talking front row, behind home plate, on the 50, you name it. StubHub.com. Got it. So, you want tickets for an exciting sporting event or sold-out show? No problem. Just go to StubHub.com, find the seats you want, and your tickets will be delivered fast via FedEx. When you use StubHub.com, you'll always get the tickets you want in time for the game, 100% guaranteed. All right, here's the recap. Can't use your tickets? Sell them on StubHub.com. Want tickets? Go to StubHub.com. That's S-T-U-B-H-U-B. Visit StubHub.com today or call 1-866-STUBHUB.
What do you do when your teenager is disrespectful to your spouse? I'm Mark Merrill with today's Family Minute. Your daughter says, "I hate you. You're the worst mom in the world." Or she lets a few choice words fly at your husband. What do you do? Well, you can just ignore it and let your spouse and child work it out. But what kind of message does that send to your child? They need to see a unified mom and dad. Parents who support each other with words and actions. If you don't like the way your spouse handled or treated your child, talk it out privately. Otherwise, send a clear, firm, and unified message to your child. Remember, your family first.
The Family Minute with Mark Merrill is a production of Family First. To find out about ways you can build a stronger family, go to FamilyMinute.net. That's FamilyMinute.net or call 1-800-956-8300. That's
1-800-956-8300. Attention swimmers! Get out of the water! Everyone, out of the water!
Dude, that? It's a pair of thunder thighs. Big ones, too. That mom, who's been swimming a lot with her kids, must have lost them.
Whoa. I heard about this happening once up at Laguna.
Small step number 54. Play with your kids. It's just one of the many small steps you can take to get healthy. Learn more at www.smallstep.gov.
The public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Hey, 20 past the hour, Mark Maron, it's Mark Riley.
Yes.
You're listening to Air America Radio. I made a mistake. I didn't say this our guest's name right. He is the writer of Black Hawk Down. His new book is called Roadwork Among Tyrants, Heroes, Rogues, and Beasts. He is a reporter, and it's a pleasure to have him on the show. Mark Bowden, good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, Mark.
Hello.
So let's talk about Fallujah. I mean, this is a pretty insane and large offensive. The assault on Fallujah is big. How do you see it in relation to other quagmires, say Vietnam or Somalia, which you depicted so well in your book?
Well, are we talking about the whole war in Iraq, or are we just talking about Fallujah?
Well, we're talking about what's going on right now.
Well, I think that my suspicion is that in Fallujah, the resistance is going to melt away pretty quickly.
Uh-huh.
Just because it would be very foolish of these insurgents to try to stand and fight with the Marines that are coming in.
Okay.
They're, you know, in the sense of comparing it to Somalia, the insurgency in Iraq has basically the same weaponry, AK-47s and RPGs, but I don't think there's any strong evidence that they have widespread popular support in the way that the fighters in Mogadishu had against the
you dropped out for a second. So let me ask you another question then. In terms of success in Fallujah, which you're saying will ultimately happen, you know, what impact does that have on the effort in Iraq, you know, overall, and how do you characterize, you know, the effect we're having there?
Well, I think that, you know, we've obviously been struggling in Iraq in the last year or and more.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, we've met a much more determined insurgency than we had expected. If we prevail in Fallujah, which I think we will, I don't think that it makes that big a difference. It'll make it more difficult for the insurgents to basically have a big place to hide. but I'm sure they'll find another one.
Right.
I mean, the nature of fighting an insurgency is that ultimately I think the only thing that can defeat this insurgency is the Iraqi people themselves. And so the real battle, it seems to me, is to create enough security in the country that people have confidence in the election that's coming up and in whatever government takes shape.
Mark Bowden, are you at all nervous about the idea, A, that there are some numbers, nobody knows how many, of Iraqi troops that are supposed to be fighting with the Americans that either haven't shown up or defected, and are you at all worried that apparently at mosques throughout the city there are calls from Islamic clerics not to collaborate with the Americans?
Well, I don't think either is terribly surprising. It's very difficult in the conditions that exist right now in Iraq to build a strong military force because, you know, most people are waiting to see which side is going to be stronger, which side is going to prevail. And quite literally, their lives hang in the balance. I mean, if you live in a neighborhood in Iraq and you choose the wrong side, somebody could put a bullet in your head the next day. So people are being very careful about which side to choose. And, you know, it doesn't surprise me that when push comes to shove and they want you to, you know, put on the uniform and go start shooting at some of your fellow countrymen, that's a fairly difficult thing to pull off. So I think that, the United States is making headway there, but that's a difficult test. Now, the anti-Americanism coming from Mott, I think we can all pretty much agree is not a terribly surprising development.
No.
Right.
Now, we've also heard a report that 45 people have been killed in Bakuba. Actually today, I guess earlier today over there. This is 40 miles northeast of Baghdad. And apparently 25 of those 45 people who were killed were cops. Now, if 20 cops were killed in New York City or in Philadelphia, there would be a hue and cry, a tremendous uproar. What do you think is the reaction in Iraq to reading that 25 police officers have been killed?
Well, I think it makes people less inclined to want to volunteer for the police force. But again, it's all what I said earlier, that I think that, you know, people in Iraq who are trying to decide neighborhood by neighborhood which side is the right side to be on. And I don't think they're making that decision on the basis of their ideological values. I think they're making that decision, most people are, on the basis of survival. So clearly in that area, if the insurgents have managed to kill that many police, people, I think that, you know, they've struck a real blow for their cause in that area. People are going to be afraid to side with the provisional government there, and I think they're going to be more inclined to help the insurgents.
So those are pretty standard guerrilla warfare tactics, aren't they?
Well, it is. I mean, this is really nothing new, and it bears comparison to what Americans did against the British in the Revolutionary War, which was an insurgency of sorts until we managed to get enough of an army together to fight theirs. Insurgents prevail not by, in general, marching out into battlefields and defeating occupiers, but by winning, you know, the hearts and minds of their own people and by gradual attrition of the occupiers' troops.
Mm-hmm. Mark Bowden, you've written a book, Roadwork, Among Tyrants, Heroes, Rogues, and Beasts. It's, I guess, a sort of 25-year retrospective of your work. One of the highlights of the book, obviously, is a look at Saddam Hussein. Tell us what your impressions of this guy are and whether you see America actually achieving justice with regard to his reign in Iraq, because he is about to go on trial.
Well, Saddam is a classic tyrant. He's someone who built himself a power base initially in Iraq by appealing to a broad spectrum of political reformers and nationalists, was actually given a UNESCO award for improving the literacy of the Iraqi people back in, like, 1989, and programs that had a great deal of support that were essentially Ba'ath Party programs. The Ba'ath Party, which has kind of become it's got a bad name, began in the 60s and 70s as a kind of idealistic pan-Arab socialist organization with
right.
great ambitions for improving the lives of people in that region. I think that what happened in Iraq was that Saddam co-opted that organization, befriended And gained the support of a lot of people who sort of hitched their wagons to him.
And then exploited.
And then he turned on them at a certain point.
Wow. So, well, that's all great, and the book looks great. It's just a compilation of stuff you've written over 25 years, right? So it's great to talk to you, Mark Bowden. I appreciate you being here.
Oh, you're welcome, Mark.
Well, thanks a lot, Mark.
You take care. 866-303-2270 is our number. I'll do the Palm Pilot after this. I spaced it out, and we'll take your calls. Looking forward to talking to you. It's 28 past the hour. Is that okay, Riley?
Sure.
Okay, buddy. We'll see you in a minute.
Lose 30 pounds in 30 days? Or how about eat whatever you want and still lose weight? Look, you and I both know that is not going to happen. I'm Dr. Greg Cinnamone, and I'd probably be the first to sign up for that magic pill that makes diet and exercise irrelevant. But until that day, I'm content to be one of 100,000 plus folks who haven't just ordered Cortislim once. They've ordered Cortislim again. So many people have found that Cortislim is part of an absolutely brilliant lifestyle of managing daily stress. Why? Because stress leads to problems, like gaining weight. We believe that good health involves diet, exercise, supplementation, and Cortislim. And I want you to have Dr. Talbot's Total Sense program free with your order. Look, the holidays are here, and stress and overeating is a problem. This is your chance to step off that scale and into the Cortislim lifestyle. Call 1-800-921-BURN. 800-921-BURN. 800-921-BURN.
Cracked up plays George Carlin, Rawdog plays him too. Cracked up plays the cleaner bits, and Rawdog plays the blue. Rawdog's 147, Cracked up's 146. Both play lots of comedy and other funny shit.
Cracked up and Raw Dog, two flavors of funny from Sirius.
If FM could, they probably would. It's radio that's cool. No FCC rules.
Hello, everybody. I'm Tony Cantilli, your fresh grocer, and today's tip is going to be on one of the most popular potatoes you see now in many green market specialty stores and now finding their way into mainstream stores. It's not an heirloom potato, but it is a fingerling potato. Fingerling potatoes are elongated small potatoes that have very little starch and a lot of sugar. There's about 4 to 5 and sometimes a dozen different varieties of fingerling potatoes. No matter which ones you choose, you want to make sure that the colors are nice and bright. The skin is free from any shriveling and any sprouting whatsoever. When you bring them home, store them in your refrigerator. Now, because fingerling potatoes have so much sugar content to them, they have a shorter shelf life than just about any potato you can enjoy. So buy them and enjoy them within 4 to 5 days and enjoy this beautiful potato, the fingerling potato, and load it with nutritional value. If you want a great recipe of these potatoes, just log on to TonyCantillo.com.
Hello, I'm Tony Cantillo. You know, sometimes information on nutrition and health can seem overwhelming. That's why there's the Dole Nutrition News. Twice a month, this electronic newsletter will bring you the very latest in diet and nutrition research, plus recipes, fitness tips, and natural beauty ideas. Best of all, it's absolutely free. How do you get all this information? Simply just go to www.dolenutrition.com. To sign up, it's free, it's easy, and it's loaded with news that you can use to lose weight and look great. Again, that's www.dolenutrition.com.
All right, you 4 years old son, ready for the big leagues. Put your bat on, buddy. There you go, helmet. Okay, that's right, your thigh guards. Now don't forget your mouth guard. You don't want to be losing teeth in your first game. Well, they're baby teeth, but put it in.
Daddy!
Don't let them worry you. They may be over 200 pounds and kind of mean looking, but you're ready for them. Just run through them. Here's the ball. Run!
Daddy?
Don't look at me. Run with it. Go, boy, run!
But I could get hurt.
No pain, no gain. Now run!
Ow!
You wouldn't treat your child like an adult. So why put them in adult seatbelts? If they're under 4'9", they need a booster seat.
Ah, you should have straight-armed them.
For more information, go to boosterseat.gov. This message brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Department of Transportation.
Here's the 2-1. Swing on one!
Hi, I'm Barry Bonds for RAD, recording artists, actors, and athletes against drunk driving. In my league, we hit home runs without a designated hitter. But if you want to get home safe, there should always be a designated driver. So when you're with someone who is drinking, please take their keys. Call a cab or drive them home yourself, because friends don't let friends drive drunk.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Learning water safety is just one way you can make your family and your community safer. Your local Red Cross also offers training in other life-saving skills, like first aid, CPR, and AED. When we come together, we become part of something bigger than us all. Sign up for a class today at your local American Red Cross chapter or visit redcross.org for more information.
Before past the hour, Mark Maron here with Mark Riley on Air America Radio's Morning Sedition program.
Oh, yeah.
Here we go. I forgot this before. We got Ramon, or Ray Ray, our guy who brings us the Palm Pilot every day. He's able to hack into all the Palm Pilots within the administration. Very exciting, because today we got Rumsfeld. 0600, wake up. 100 one-arm push-ups, each arm. If unsuccessful, refer to self as Maggot and go put on a dress. 0700, practice giving patronizing answers to reporter dummy. Do 10 reps of the withering gaze over the glasses. 0730, receive situation report about Fallujah assault. Regardless of latest intel, demand the results be achieved with half the troops. Plus, from now on, all briefings should be delivered by half as many officers. 0800, review transcript of yesterday's press conference. See if I can decipher what I said. Demand that results be achieved with half the verbs. 0800. Review transcript. Oh, I already did that. 1100 hours. Call President Bush. Brief him for his upcoming visit to wounded soldiers. Note, tell him to keep the back slapping to a minimum. 1230. Lunch. The meal needs to be lighter, more mobile, utilizing the latest anti-hunger technology. 1400 hours. Think of snappy military euphemism for the upcoming draft. Mandatory personnel enhancement. Or maybe extreme national service. Idea, have draft notices contain the language, congratulations, you may already be a soldier. 1600 hours to 1900 hours, review tactical strategies for seizing Fallujah. 1900 hours to 1905 hours. Would that be right? Review plans for securing peace in Fallujah. Time permitting. 2000, do it again. 2000 hours, lights out, soldier. Note, dreams need to be lighter, more mobile. More flying. Man, I guess I can crack a cigarette for you. Dave was driving a big rig outside of Wyoming or in Wyoming. How are you, Dave?
Well, I'm pissed. Okay. I'm so mad at this election.
Yeah, no
and
kidding.
I can't believe. You know, I've been to New York.
Yeah.
I've dealt with New Yorkers. These guys are tough. They wear their testicles about three blocks in front of them.
That's
and they dare you to do something.
That's right.
And they're lying down and taking this crap from the thief in chief.
Who is?
This bully.
New Yorkers?
Yeah, what's going on? I mean, we should be marching. Marching down to Florida, marching around, busting up all these electronic machines, smashing them into pieces,
yep.
Demanding we get arrested, and saying, you stole it. You stole it, you rat bastard.
Yep.
You know, I'm so goddamn, I'm ready to drive this truck through a damn courthouse in Ohio.
Well, you're right by Cheney's house.
I'm not going to do that.
You're near Cheney, aren't you?
You're right by Cheney's house. Why don't you go drive it into his house?
Yeah, like that would kill Robo Bipo, whatever it is. You know why they call them the red state? Because they're the red ass state. Because they like lying over and taking it with this unemployment, with this budget thing. And, you know, it's a classic case of gay passion. That's because that's what they're afraid of they are. You got this guy who forces guys to have sex at gunpoint, and he's saying he's the moral, whatever.
The moral president.
I can't say. Yeah, he's forcing men to strip off their clothes and have sex on camera, and he's supposed to be the high moral deal? And what the hell is that?
You're talking about Abu Ghraib, huh?
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, Abu Ghraib is some kind of porno love fest for a homosexual porno love fest, and he's against gay marriage. So you can force gay rape, and you can force gay porno, but we're against gay marriage. I mean, that makes any sense to me. I mean,
okay,
you know,
all right.
Guys gotta go. We gotta smash these machines. We gotta get pissed off. We gotta get these so-called tough guys, East Coast guys, to get mad and talk to Rocco and Bruno and whoever the hell they are and bust some heads.
Okay,
and
good.
Rocco and Bruno.
Thanks, Dave.
Oh, gee.
Dave, I'm going to call Rocco and Bruno
right
now.
Nice slam on the Italian guys.
Yeah, that guy, there's a lot of mixed messages, but I think we understand where he stands in that, you know, he's angry. He expects the East Coast states, the blue states, to stand up,
to
get out in the streets, to go break the machines. Well, I certainly would like to do that, but I think we're going to have to do that on a local government level, because I assume if we start breaking things and violently protesting, that will play right into their hands, and we will be even more demonized and oppressed. And arrested.
Well, I'm glad that Dave is on the open road in Wyoming.
He's probably got
another 3 hours before he gets to a town.
I don't know if he's been up all night or he's just been, you know, just gotten up. He's jacked up.
Yeah,
and
he
I understand
is.
A lot of people are. Let's talk to Jerry in Long Island. Jerry?
Hey, Jerry.
Yeah, hi, guys.
How are you doing?
Yeah. Well, Farron, you were saying earlier that the reason Bush won is because he got more votes. And I agree with you. For example, in Ohio, there was the suburban Columbus precinct where Bush got 3,093 more votes than there were registered voters there.
Mm-hmm.
There were other technical glitches like that, and there are also 175,000 provisional ballots at least that I understand mostly African Americans were forced to fill out that have still not been counted. There's absentee military ballots and about 92,000 punch card ballots, according to Greg Ballas, still not counted in Ohio. And I think if we counted all those votes in Ohio properly and accurately, then John Kerry might have actually, or might still be able to actually win the enough votes in Ohio.
What's John Kerry saying about it?
Well, that's why I think we do need to criticize Kerry. I think this is one of Kerry's problems. He did concede too early. And I'm pissed off as a registered independent voter who voted for him in the blue state of New York.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm pissed off the whole Democratic Party. I mean, John Kerry put up less of a fight than Al Gore. And if the Democrats want a registered independent voter like myself who's progressively minded to vote for them,
yeah,
then they better fight to make sure that my vote counts and my fellow registered independent voters in Ohio, their votes count, and in Florida,
yeah, you would think that
states, they better fight for our votes to count, all our votes like they promised to do.
Absolutely. You would think that, you know, after investing hundreds of millions of dollars, yeah, in John Kerry, that, you know, if there was a real argument to be had, a real case to be made, they would make it, and the senator would do something about it. Thanks for your call, Jerry. Appreciate it.
Now, the other question, of course, is we got until the inauguration. Because, see, once Bush is inaugurated for a second term,
mm-hmm,
it doesn't matter whether they find out after that Ohio that weren't counted or whatever, because he will be president at that point, and the only way you're going to get rid of him is to impeach him.
Yeah.
So you've got a hard and fast deadline here. If people really want to count all these ballots, if people really want to contest, you've got a limited window of opportunity.
And apparently they're doing it, you know, and I will certainly report any progress that's going on with that. You know, I will report substantiated numbers, and, you know, and we'll cover that stuff as it unfolds. We're going to check in with Jerry Nadler, you know, hopefully next week, in terms of what's going on in terms of the congressional move.
The GAO, yeah. They went to the Government Accountability Office and asked for the particulars. And by the way, I believe it was the blackboxvote.org. Somebody made a huge request for documents about all of these different voting machines. It's going to take a lot of time to find out whether or not there was actually some systemic problem with these machines.
If you want to give money to the effort, blackboxvoter.org,
yep,
is it blackboxvoting.org, is it?
Yeah, I believe it's blackboxvoting.
The link is on morningsedition.com. Yeah, Stephen in Connecticut. What's going on, Stephen? How you doing?
Hi, how are you?
Hey, Stephen.
Hey, I just wanted to talk a little bit about feel, you know, the problems of the Democratic Party are right now. And I think the problem is just science is advancing so quick that people are just having problems reconciling it, like Mark Riley said, with the religion. You know, on top of gay marriage, on top of stem cell research, on top of abortion, which was already a contested issue for the last 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think you're just turning a lot of people off because they just don't have the time to sit down and reconcile it with their religion. I mean, you're not going to win religion. You're not going to win over religion. I know it's hard for Democrats to say, you know, we have all this technology out there, you know, that can save millions of lives, but it's just coming on so quick that to say that, okay, we have to step back a little bit and give people time to take it in a little bit, it's hard for us to do, but I think it's necessary because we're going to end up working backwards. Same with gay rights. I mean, gay marriage. I mean, we see it as perfectly normal, and it's an equal rights issue. How can, after all this time, it took women 80 years to get the right to vote. I mean, there's no way in 4 years we're going to tell people that gay marriage is correct. So I think we just need to, unfortunately, kind of lay back a little bit and hold on. In terms of the New York Democrat, the guy who said that, oh, you know, people in the New York Democrats, they just want to, they don't want defense, you know, blah, blah, blah. Who got attacked in 9/11? Of course we want defense. We're the areas that are going to be most likely attacked. So, of course, we want to support defense.
Right, right. Yeah. I think he was speaking more in terms of why aren't we out there, rebelling in the streets over these.
Yeah, but you know what? We did that during the Republican convention. Yeah, New Yorkers were out there.
He had a lot of things going on in the cab of his truck.
Yeah.
Melanie, how are you, Melanie? How's it going?
Hey, hi. Melanie.
Hi.
Hello?
Hello.
I'm glad that you mentioned the voter fraud stuff, and I'm not saying that that should be the only thing talked about. I think that we need to move forward on several fronts.
Election fraud, yes.
And one of them is seeing what we need to do to combat how the Republicans communicate. One of the things that I think was missing was the progressive clergy and the gay clergy speaking out as strongly as the evangelical right was speaking out throughout the election process.
Yeah.
Now it's being sort of spun that on the backs of the gay community as if that was the reason. Not, I'm not saying that you're doing that. I'm saying that the media is doing that and the Republicans.
Yeah, you know what? It's so bogus. It is so bogus, Melanie. For people to say that the gay community struggle for equal rights cost the Democrats an election is shameful.
I'm bisexual, and I know. And my parents, my father was black and my mother was white, and I was born in 1957. So I know that the argument being made against the gay community is the same argument that was being made against my parents and me. I experienced it in both arenas.
You actually represent, you know, genetically all liberal causes.
Yes, basically, yes. And I would just appeal to you guys, you know, Air America is great, and I think that all the voices that are being heard on Air America are great, and I hope that all of y'all will pull together. You have all different views, and that's great.
Yeah, I think she's right. This is.
I'd like to meet some of the other people on the network.
Yeah, you know, we met him at the opening night launch party, and that's been bulk of the time we've seen him. But no, she's right.
Yeah.
We don't have to be a monolith. The people on here that want to deal with the election fraud, let them deal with it. We deal with it, but we can't deal with it to the exclusion. People ought to be aware of something else. We are on the air during a time when a lot of developments take place overseas, like in places like Iraq, which is 8-9 hours ahead of us. Some of the other people that are on the network are on during times when there's not a whole heck of a lot going on in Iraq. We have to let people know what's going on there. We would be doing a grave disservice to the parents of the troops over there if we didn't let people know what was happening there.
When we come back, we're going to take some more of your calls at 866-303-2270. We're also going to talk about a great American hero who is struggling for his freedom. And we'll get into that in a second on Air America Radio.
Give us a call at 866-303-2270, or you can check us out at morningsedition.com.
Are you losing your hair? Dr. Gary Gordon, Chief Medical Director at the world-renowned Gordon Research Institute, describes exciting new research guaranteed to solve your hair problem.
New data released by the FDA indicates that the body chemical dihydrotestosterone, commonly known as DHT, is the leading cause of hair loss. At our institute, we studied numerous hair loss treatments and found that Folinex is the most effective solution for stimulating new hair growth in balding areas. If you want to stop DHT from causing any further hair loss, then I strongly recommend that you try Folinex now. Folinex's DHT blocker has been used successfully for over 8 years by tens of thousands of men and women. Folinex is powerful enough to regrow hair on virtually anyone. We guarantee it.
Folinex is available for a limited time at half the price of other competitors. Folinex is guaranteed to work for you. So order risk-free now by calling 800-256-8214. That's 800-256-8214. Call 800-256-8214.
Wouldn't it be great if some things were more convenient, like income tax preparation?
Please pull up to the second window for your refund.
Unfortunately, not everything can be convenient, but Radio Shack is. With over 7,000 stores, there's probably one in your neighborhood where you'll find the helpful service you want, plus the latest electronics, accessories, wireless phones, and gift ideas. So even though we'd all like a little more convenience...
Yeah, I'm here to take your driver's license photo.
It's nice to know Radio Shack really offers it. Radio Shack, you've got questions, we've got answers.
I try to teach my children what's important in life. So instead of Fruit Loops cereal, I buy Maltomeal Tutti Frutti's cereal. Maltomeal Tutti Frutti's tastes just as good and has all the same vitamins and minerals, plus more vitamin A and calcium. And we get 50% more cereal for about the same price. Lesson?
I know, it's what's inside that counts.
Look for Maltomeal Tutti Frutti's and over 20 other popular flavors, because Maltomeal means more. Part of a balanced breakfast. Claim based on net weight comparison of 22.5 ounces to 15 ounces. Fruit Loops is a registered trademark of Kellogg Company.
Don't settle for stale talk radio. Get guaranteed freshness with the new Stephanie Miller Show. Irreverent comedy and liberal attitude. All freshness dated for your protection. Get fresh with Stephanie Miller. 9 p.m. Eastern on Sirius Left 143. Right after the Young Turks and before Alan Cole. Sirius Left and Stephanie Miller, the Freshmakers.
All your important files are on your office PC. What do you do when you want to work from home or access a file while traveling? You copy files to disk, email documents home, or sync up your laptop. What a hassle. Now, there's a perfect solution for working from anywhere at any time. With GoToMyPC.com, you can always have complete access to everything on your office PC from any other internet-connected computer. It's easy to use and highly secure. You simply log into GoToMyPC.com and your office PC appears just as if you were at your desk. Work with all your programs and files, check emails, and access your network. Try GoToMyPC free for 45 days. Visit GoToMyPC.com, click on the radio listener button and enter promo code SIRIUS. Go to My PC is incredibly easy to use. Setup is completely automatic and it takes less than 2 minutes. That's GoToMyPC.com. Radio listener button, promo code SIRIUS. Try GoToMyPC.com now, free for 45 days.
How do you teach conversation skills to a toddler? I'm Mark Merrill with today's Family Minute. Start by kneeling down and making eye contact with your young child. Limit the amount of words you use and keep the message simple. Allow your toddler enough time to respond to what you've just said. Keep in mind that during these early years, you're teaching far more than word recognition. You're actually modeling for your toddler proper ways to communicate with future teachers, peers, employers, and perhaps their own family one day. Remember, your family first.
The Family Minute with Mark Merrill is a production of Family First. To find out about ways you can build a stronger family, go to FamilyMinute.net. That's FamilyMinute.net or call 1-800-956-8300. That's 1-800-956-8300.
The average parent thinks they're prepared for a medical emergency. They know if their child has allergies or how to call 911. But the average parent doesn't know how to treat severe burns or what to do when a child stops breathing. You can't always prevent emergencies, but you can be better prepared. Call 1-888-ASK-HRSA for more information. That's toll-free, 1-888-ASK-HRSA. Brought to you by the Emergency Medical Services for Children.
662-8168. Yes, 51 past the hour, we're going to land this thing. I'm Mark Maron, that's Mark Riley. It's Morning's Edition on Air America Radio.
Yeah.
Broadcasting here in the United States of America.
Yeah.
Where just as many Americans live as.
This is a handover of power. We're exploring various issues and opportunities the Iraqis and Americans will face. This is Iraq, Birth of a Nation, Day 134. Leaders of Iraq.
Leaders. Leader. Hello? All right.
So I read where some Sunnis say they will work to tone down the violence of your government if your government can reassure them they will have a say in January's election. Now, as we all know, the Sunnis were Saddam's boys, and now they want to get back into the game, representative democracy-wise. Okay, all right, here's what I recommend to resolve this very tense situation. Tell the Sunnis to go screw themselves. That's right, they lost. Deal with it. Politics doesn't give consolation prizes. It's like our electoral college. The winner gets all the votes in a state, even when the race is closely contested. It's completely unfair and leads to nothing but resentment. But hey, that's the American way, and happens. All right? Take a page from Bush's book. Just claim to have a mandate and use it.
That sounds like a mandate to me. This is especially handy when you've got an election coming up. Those SUNY candidates will magically disappear from the ballots, assuming there are any SUNYs still alive to vote, and that's good, too. So don't give in to the opposition party ever. Their crazy dreams of democracy are just the kind of thing that will end up biting you in the ass. Remember, when you lie down with dogs, you wake up with fleas. That's a metaphor, but for you guys, it works literally, too. All right, so good luck and God bless. And by God, I mean our God. This is day 134 of Iraq, Birth of a Nation. Live free or die. Charlie, how are you? Good morning. How are you, Charlie? What's up?
I'm okay. I just want to thank you guys for always putting a smile on my face, no matter how badly I'm feeling.
Oh, you're welcome. No, that's what we're kind of here to do, thank goodness.
Oh, my God. You have no idea. I do a lot of time driving from Miami to Port St. Lucie County. I have two houses, and I'm trying to repair my hurricane-damaged house. And now that the election's over and I've done my work and I've gotten on with the rest of my life trying to get on at least, I want to just make a couple of comments. One especially, I think that we're missing quite a large contingency, actually, the Democratic voters. My husband is a CPA in his office, and, you know, I heard some comments when I did some phone banking. We called about 3,000 people, and a lot of people in his office make over $200,000 and have two or three kids. And, you know, at least I respect these people who, at least they, I say, you know, who are you voting for? They see my carry stickers all over my car, and they say, we're voting for Bush. And I said, but Marie, you're a teacher. And she said, yeah, I know, but you know, it's money.
Yeah.
It's money.
So.
And you got to remember, these, we saved a lot of money. I have six children. We saved a lot of money.
You mean from the tax cuts?
Yes, but I was willing to give it up for my future children and my grandchildren and the environment.
Right.
Some people aren't, though.
Exactly, and they're not going to admit it, but I picked up on it, you know, the quiet little, well, I'm kind of worried, you know, especially dealing with CPAs, they're not a little worried about taxes, you know, right, well, they're going to have a lot more worry about when they have the flat tax. They're going to be losing a lot of their salaries if they stayed with the taxes, whatever.
Right, ultimately, yeah, state and local taxes go up, investments don't pay off, and it's not true what they're saying.
But Republicans and Democrats across the line, I guarantee you, when is that phone, when is that booth?
Yeah.
And they often, some of them voted often and early because Connie Kaplan is from Chicago, and I did try to vote a second time, and I was encouraged to vote a second time.
Right. You voted twice?
I was permitted, I was going to be permitted to vote twice.
Wow.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Wow. I have it all documented, yes. Yeah. Oh,
that's
yeah.
Crazy.
I went to the, I did my homework. I worked very, very hard. I had a couple of ACT people staying at my home. I worked 7 days a week, 365 days a year. I was glued to C-SPAN, glued to Link TV.
Okay.
I mean, I'm in touch with what's going on.
Well, thank you so much for calling us, Charlie.
We appreciate it,
Charlie. Take care. I just wanted to say, I brought up that a great American hero is fighting for his freedom, and Dr. Jack Kevorkian has asked the state parole board Monday to recommend that he you know, be released from prison for health reasons. And, you know, I was always against this guy being in prison in the first place. I think this is a reasonable thing he's fighting for. I think the right to commit suicide in a dignified way if you're dying or, you know, even a little depressed, you know, should be your right. No, obviously not depression is not the right illness, but, you know, specifically for terminally ill patients. And I think one of the reasons why there was so much resistance to his very progressive thinking was that the drug companies, the hospitals, and, you know, the healthcare providing industries, you know, make a lot of money off of people dying. And, you know, I think that one of the reasons that this is not, you know, part of, you know, modern society is not essentially religious, but it's just about money.
Well, wait a minute. If that's the case, then you should stay in prison. Right?
Yeah,
because logically, I mean, he's not going to get a hell of a lot of health care there. Pharmaceuticals? Never heard of them.
I just argue with the fact that, like, I think that, you know, he was, you know, he had a lot of nads, you know, and I think that, you know, his sort of, you know, kind of very sort of,
should have went. What was that?
It's not a matter of agnostic. I think what he's fighting for is legitimate.
I think it's legit too, but the mistake he made was a tactical one. He went on TV and did it.
Look, you know, if HMOs could encourage assisted suicides as opposed to covering people, you know, that would cost them too much to cover, you know, they would do it. You know, but there's just a weird sort of, you know, gap in logic in terms of, like, you know, sometimes they can make a fortune off of people that need a lot of medication. Other times they don't want to give medication to people that's going to drain them of their money. I don't know. I think he's a very provocative figure, and he should be released from prison and allowed to talk more. There's our liberal agenda. Here's the, your marching orders for today. Write these down. Consult Elizabeth Kubler-Ross's Stages of Grief. Try to move from denial and anger into bargaining. Two, screw it. Blow past bargaining straight into depression. Three, as a motivational tool, keep repeating the phrase, Chief Justice Clarence Thomas, to yourself. Stop it to start cramping. Four, if Bush tries to reach out to Democrats, sue him for sexual harassment. And five, phrase it a day. If anyone asks you where you're from, look into the distance with steely resolve and pronounce, until the killing stops, I am a citizen of Fallujah.
All right.
What do we got tomorrow?
Well, tomorrow we've got somebody who's been all over the news since the election. He is from Americans United for the Separation of Church and State, the Reverend Barry Lynn.
I love that guy.
Yeah, man. We've had him on before. We're going to have him on again. He's going to tell us his take on the morality issue in the election. All that and a whole lot more tomorrow on Mornings Edition here on Air America Radio. Have a good one, Marin.
You too, Riley.